listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and of course you gators and grannies to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on Shake and Wake Radio and coming forward on Truth Be Known Radio. Always good to be here. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what the stations are doing, we always ask if you can reach into your pocket and throw a few bucks into the kitty. I know the people that are running the stations would appreciate any kind of help that you can give them. I know times are tough, but we like what we're doing here, and it would be appreciated. And always, I like to start my show thanking my producer, because I always forget at the end, thanks to Steve for doing what he's doing for me, putting up with me every week. Great guy. It is my pleasure and honor to have back on my show here for the first hour, Dr. David Allen. I've had Dr. on probably, I don't know, maybe five or six or seven times here in the last 5 or 6 years. Always a great conversation. He's come up with an incredible initiative that I had a chance to look at a couple times before the show today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Allen, and I know you want to talk about your initiative. And like I said before we went on air, if you want to read that out today and start the show off with that, and maybe give people a little bit of a highlight on your background before we get going. Thanks for coming.
All right, well, thank you, Barry. I appreciate you having me today. I'm Dr. David Allen. I'm a retired heart surgeon, and I became aware of the U.S. patent, cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants, that came out in 2003. And in that patent, it's patent number 6,630,507. It says that it stops the progression of a stroke by inhibiting reperfusion injury. And being a heart surgeon, I'm an expert in reperfusion injury because that's how the heart dies. And I'm not going to go into the reperfusion injury right now, but basically, this U.S. patent proves that it decreases the size of a stroke by 50%. And so that came out in 2003, and they've not done any double-blind medical studies on humans. And this thing came out. So there's medical evidence that you can decrease the size of a stroke by 50% if you use a certain chemical, CBD. And there's been no clinical trials on it since 2003. Huh. And it's not an accident. And so cannabis is a Schedule I drug, which means it's not safe under doctor's supervision, and no current medical utility in the United States. And that means that nobody in the United States has proven that cannabis does anything good for medical care in anything. So the government states that cannabis has no medical use and not safe under doctor's supervision. And if you were to prove that it had medical use in the United States, then that would certainly take down that leg of the controlled substance act. So if we were now they have proof that cannabis does has medical efficacy in other countries, but we don't accept other countries' experiments. So
right.
only studies done here in the United States would be accepted. And so one of the legs that cannabis prohibition stands on is there's no proof in the United States that it has medical utility. So that's one of the legs that my initiative wants to attack. The other leg is jury nullification. And so for the drug war business plan to work, you need to have 12 jurors in the United States to say guilty. And if one of those 12 people say not guilty, it ruins the drug war business plan. And they can't prosecute. And so it makes it unprofitable to try to prosecute somebody if you can't find a jury where all 12 people will say guilty. And so like in many states like California, it's almost impossible to find 12 people to say guilty of a flower crime. There's always one joker that says not guilty. And you can't, if the juror says not guilty, you can't punish him. And he doesn't have to explain why he says not guilty. So you can actually change law by jury nullification by just saying not guilty, and you don't have to give your reason. So that's the other leg that cannabis prohibition stands on. And I want to destroy that leg, too. And so I'll try to explain why I've done some of the things I have done on this initiative. And let me read the introduction opening statement. It's the initiative is called The Real Legalization and Decriminalization of Cannabis and Hemp in Mississippi and Legalization of Scientific and Medical Study of Cannabis and Hemp. So the opening statement is, cannabis is a nutraceutical and metabolic necessity and should be in the diet of all humans and animals to help control homeostasis. Mm-hmm. Anti-cannabis laws have ruined many families' lives for using a flower that has so many benefits. Under current controlled substance law, CSA, no physician can study cannabis without special permission that is routinely denied. Many states' attempt at partial legalization have resulted in the continuation of the drug war, of the war on drugs, or war on cannabis, in a modified form, and the continued arrest of citizens and seizure of property. So any restriction on plant limits or amounts of cannabis that you can own means partial legalization and the government compliance inspectors on your property. This initiative is designed to end the drug war on cannabis and hemp and establish Mississippi as the only state where unrestricted medical and scientific study on cannabis and hemp are allowed by law. So it's illegal to study cannabis or hemp in the United States without special permission, and you have to go through a whole bunch of different organizations, the FDA and DEA and NIDA, the National Institute for Drug Abuse.
Wow.
And they routinely deny people, doctors, the ability to study cannabis. And in addition, there's only one place, Mississippi State University, Ole Miss, where they grow marijuana for the government. It's the only place in the country where federal marijuana is able to be grown. And so there's a limited supply for people applying for studies anyway. So what I want to do is make it legal to study cannabis where the police and the medical board can't go after doctors. And the doctors, all they have to do a medical study is to get informed consent from the patient themselves. They don't have to get permission from any government agency. They just have to do a study, and they will notify the state that, that there is an ongoing study, and the state is going to be required to print medical study results for humans and animals, and they'll print it online for free so other people can do this. So I would like Mississippi to be the first state to make it legal for doctors and scientists to study cannabis, but I don't care about being first. What I care about is ending the war, the drug war, and so I encourage other people to that live in states that don't have cannabis legal, or maybe even a state that has semi-legalization of cannabis, and I'll explain that in just a second, and they can, if they have an initiative process to change the constitution in their state, they can write up a crazy initiative just like I did and submit it, and if they get enough signatures, they can change bad cannabis law, that because not all cannabis law is good, or not all cannabis legalization law is good, and they can, so if they live in a state where they have partial legalization measures, they can change it to where it's really truly legal, because the truth is guns and ammunition and alcohol are legal. And that means you don't have to have a government inspector to come to your house and check on how much alcohol you have or guns or ammo. And so we want cannabis to be exactly like that. Many of the reforms, the police start yelling, oh, well, we can't do this because think of all the money we're going to have to spend on enforcing these new laws. Well, if you make the laws right, then you don't need an army of compliance inspectors whose job is to find that you're not in compliance. So we want to end the drug war really in a total way, stop the drug war, and so
wow. So let me get this straight. So if it's legal down there, you can go and have a couple beers, take your gun, go out, and travel around with it, no problem. But if you were to have a joint, that would be an absolute no-no, and you're not allowed to have a firearm. The right. Hypocrisy of that, right. Doc. The hypocrisy. I mean, we know what alcohol's effect is on people.
Right.
And then you're going to give them a gun. Okay, well, that's fine. But we know what the effects of cannabis on our people, and what a hypocrisy. Just the fact that this is still a class one, classified as a class right. one in the States. Doc, that absolutely astounds me with the information that's yeah. out there worldwide now about the effects of cannabis on the yeah. human body.
Now,
go ahead.
It's actually Schedule One in the United States. It's Class One or Class A in the United Kingdom. So it's schedule CSA scheduling.
Schedule One, okay.
So
same I'll schedule as these, heroin, correct?
It's the same schedule as heroin.
Correct.
The first point is licensed physicians may give medical opinions on cannabis and hemp without any restrictions from law enforcement or the medical board. Physicians and veterinarians may conduct medical studies on cannabis and hemp and all derivatives with informed consent and notification of the state health department of an ongoing study. Results of all medical studies on humans and animals will be published online free by the health department. Starting the day after the initiative passes, arrests for cannabis-associated crimes must have a victim or property loss. No arrest for cannabis or derivatives will occur. Only citations with a maximum fine of $500 and community service are allowed. The only exception for arrest would be unlicensed interstate transfer. So unlicensed, I'm sure they'll be able to license interstate transfer. Right. DUI or child endangerment. And so child endangerment won't be there won't be separate cannabis laws about that. They'll use the standard child endangerment laws, which are like 10 years in jail if you get charged with that. So,
right.
And local counties may not make laws to deny access to cannabis hemp derivatives. So in California, what's happened is they made it legal, but certain counties you can make it illegal, like dry, make it a dry county. And so those patients have to drive long distances outside of their county to obtain cannabis. And what's happened, now I want to talk about partial legalization. I'm going to stop here reading through this thing and stop for a second and talk about partial legalization. Okay. So in California, they've made it semi-legal, which means that the police are not involved, especially the drug task force, are not involved. So, in effect, this is defunding the police movement. So cannabis legalization is defunding the police. They'll never say that, but that's the truth, and they know it, but they just won't say it. And so since it's semi-legal in California, what they do is they have code enforcement. So they've hired lots more code enforcement people, and now these code enforcement people, they have bulletproof vests, and they come on armed. They're not they don't have to comply with any police regulations because they're not police. So they can search your property without a warrant. So they fly drones over your house, over your property, and they say, oh, well, I think we see a cannabis plant there. We're going to fine you $1,000 a day abatement fee until you get rid of it. And then they take you. Then what happens is they take you to court, but not to a regular court. They take you to court that's held in code enforcement building. They hire a lawyer. They call him the code enforcement hearing officer. They hire two code enforcement police officers to come in to testify against you. I like to call them garden police. And then you don't get a lawyer to defend you because it's not a criminal charge. It's a civil charge, so you don't get a lawyer to defend you, and you don't get a jury of your peers. So by making it semi-legal, they've actually removed the juror, which was the obstacle in their way. They were having people say not guilty, and that was ruining the drug war plan. So now they can steal your property by making accusations that you have cannabis. And so really, people don't understand this. If you don't smoke pot, if you don't use cannabis, these laws still affect your property. So they can charge you with abatement fines, and if you don't pay it, it goes against your taxes. So they can take your property at some point in the future if you don't comply with these people. Wow. So that's the danger of partial legalization. And so what you don't want is you don't want some excuse to make cannabis semi-legal where you got to have a compliance officer to check how many plants you have. And this also exposes... one of the points here that I have, because they just legalized cannabis for medical use here, and they have a seed-to-sales tracking measure in the new law. And I think that seed-to-sales tracking is a Chicago gangsterism. It doesn't make any sense, and it actually kind of proves that these people that don't smoke pot, that make these laws about pot, have cognitive dysfunction. Because the whole idea that they're trying to sell is, we're going to give you these little tags. You put them on, we're going to sell them to you. You put them on your marijuana plants, and as they grow, that tag follows the marijuana when it gets harvested, processed, sent to labs for testing, and then sent to the dispensary for sale. We're tracking it from the seed all the way to the sales. And all you got to do is buy this 50-cent tag that we sell, and you're legal. And if you don't have the tag, you're not legal. And so to these these pot haters, this sounds like a great, what a wonderful idea. And they've even gone further than that. So the cognitive dysfunction even is more profound than that. They say, well, these tags can be removed from one plant to the other. Why don't we spray the plants with a radionuclide that for sure you could just check it with a Geiger counter, and then you would know it's government pot because there's the Geiger counter. So,
come on, are you serious?
I'm serious.
This isn't a joke, right? This is not a joke.
No, this is not a joke.
Because you got me laughing.
These pot haters think that putting a tag on a plant that you can clone, you can take any plant and take a little piece of the plant off and make hundreds of new plants off of that one plant. So seed-to-sales tracking is a faulty idea. It's Chicago gangsterism at its finest and proves cognitive dysfunction of non-pot smokers.
Absolutely. What a joke. I mean, I thought you were trying to be funny there, but I could see the extreme. Well, what's happened here in Canada, Doc? You know, that Justin Trudeau, of course, legalized cannabis here a couple years ago, and it's turned out to be a disaster for the government. But now, it's funny, you talk about these enforcement officers coming to your house. Well, what they've allowed people to do in Canada is they're allowed people to grow four plants. But now the government, of course, is coming up with all this propaganda that they're hearing about people abusing all this, and they might be having to send people around to check to make sure people are complying with the four-plant limit. Right. You know, it's the same exact same thing what you're just talking about right now, Doc. And to somebody on the outside that's not a pot smoker, well, that's a great idea. You know, you don't want these guys breaking the law, but they don't realize the implications of what we're talking about. Go ahead.
Exactly. They're not So what happened was, you know, I went to California and I was a doctor in this business, in cannabis business. And I came back here and I was involved with the Human Solution. So I actually testified in a bunch of cannabis cases, in criminal cases and family court cases. And so and I also testified in code enforcement cases. And so I kind of had the experience of what semi-legalization was all about and how it was still a continuation of the drug war in another form. And so when I came to Mississippi, these people here in Mississippi are completely unaware of what code enforcement or its implications are. And so that's why I sit down and wrote this initiative. Now, number four on this initiative thing is adults 21 years of age and older may legally use all forms and quantities of cannabis and hemp. Adults are allowed unlimited home grow and possession of cannabis and hemp and related products, unrestricted by police or code enforcement or other agencies. Any excess cannabis or hemp that you grow is not utilized, may be used as barter untaxed. And what that means is you can trade your cannabis or hemp for goods or services, which means cannabis is money, for hemp is money. Cash sales of excess product would require a set tax rate of 7%, anyone unable to grow can have caregivers grow for them. Full reciprocity for out-of-state adults. No state or local restrictions on gardens. Okay, so in California, they got some local restrictions where you have to put fences around your cannabis, and some you have to grow inside under lights. All right, number five, property cannot be seized by state or outside agencies for cannabis or hemp-associated crimes. Number six, cannabis and hemp and all derivatives are taxed at 7% to go to the general state funds and for programs started by this initiative.
Right.
Number seven, no identification card needed and no database collected on adult use. Number eight, cannabis and hemp smoking is legal wherever tobacco smoking is prohibited except where alcohol is consumed. So it's kind of illegal to do two drugs at once. It's so if you're at a bar and they're serving alcohol, I put that in there so people wouldn't be charged with, drinking and smoking.
Right.
Number nine, the state will expunge all records of cannabis and hemp crimes, including all constituents, hash and oil, and paraphernalia, and start a database for all Mississippi incarcerated victims of the drug war on cannabis and hemp for future reparations from taxes collected by this measure. And that's $20 a day of confinement to start 6 months after starting the initiative. So since I spent 14 months in prison here in Mississippi, they would owe me some money.
Wow.
Cannabis, number 10, cannabis and hemp cannot be used to deny a person employment, housing, or government benefits. Employers may limit cannabis use of employees during working hours, but no other time. Number 11, children, the use of cannabis and hemp cannot be used to deny custody of children or visitation privileges or used by child protective services. Cannabis used by minors would require parental consent and physician evaluation. Giving cannabis products to minors by anyone other than the legal guardian will be charged with our standard child endangerment laws, in addition to extended community service. Number 12, gun laws. Now, this is kind of interesting. On Prop 65, the pot hater said, oh, well, if you get a cannabis card, that means you can't have a gun. And so I wrote this. It says, cannabis and hemp does not alter the Second Amendment rights to own a gun. No law is higher than constitutional law. So what happened was in Prop 65, the pot hater said, oh, you can't own a gun, as if they can change constitutional law. So they may not want you to be able to own a gun or even own a driver's license if you use cannabis. But the truth is, on the gun laws, it's a constitutional law, and you can't write a law that denies persons constitutional rights.
Right.
So I wrote it that way specifically so that the anti-pot people cannot twist that. Number 13. Tracking. No seed to sales tracking is allowed on plants that could be easily cloned. And so I wrote that specifically that way so it would expose the criminal nature of seed to sales tracking. 14, lab testing. The state will establish lab testing for appropriate cannabinoid content and lack of contaminants and proper labeling. Number 15, licensing will be no more than $500 for all license. 16, the state will start a cannabis and hemp brokerage exchange for citizens and businesses. So if you grow cannabis, you have excess, and you want to get rid of it, you'll call a brokerage exchange. They say, all right, we'll send it in, we'll test it, and then they tell you back, oh, I tested okay, here's your price. And then they sell it on the open market.
Huh. Like that.
17. The state will establish a state-run cannabis bank for businesses and citizens deposit and tax collection. Number 18. This law supersedes all previous state law on hemp and marijuana and all derivatives. Derivatives and all constituents of cannabis plant includes seed, root, stalk, leaf, flour, fiber, oil, hash extraction, or related products. The state will remove cannabis and hemp and all derivatives from the Uniform Controlled Substance Scheduling and Mississippi Code. Number 19, these laws will be placed in the state constitution. This is expertly worded, I think. So opponents of cannabis legalization cannot alter them later without legitimate popular Democratic vote. And it says in parentheses, the real Democratic legalization of cannabis and hemp. So putting these laws in your constitution means that some politician that hates pot can't make a local ordinance or some other law that supersedes the state constitution. So they would have to change the law. They would have to get a popular vote of the citizens, not just the politicians. And number 20, all cannabis businesses may be located anywhere pharmacies, gas stations, or other legal businesses are located without local restrictions. So that's the whole initiative. And it's made to make cannabis really, cannabis and hemp really legal and allow scientific study to prove or disprove efficacy on different medical conditions.
Wow.
So I wrote this. I've never been involved in politics. It took me a couple months to write it. I had to rewrite it a bunch of times. I got some advice from different people. But it was my experience in California that made me think that we need to be able to change the law to where you don't need an army of police coming to your house to check and see if you're in compliance.
Well, everything on this initiative, Doc, in a nutshell, is basically giving freedom back to people to choose what they want to do with their lives as far as hemp and cannabis goes, in a nutshell. And in my opinion, there's never been a more important time that we bring this forward. How long has this initiative been in front of the public now, Doc? And are you seeing momentum?
Well, it's not
with it?
From the public yet.
Okay.
So the initiative process is this. You write the initiative, and you mail it to the Secretary of State, and they have, like, a couple weeks to respond.
Right.
And then they suggest changes, and then you have to give them a certified copy of all the changes or what if you make them or not. And then they print it in the paper, and they give you a number, and then you got 12 months to collect like 110,000 signatures in the state.
Okay.
And there's certain, you have to collect them in certain counties. So we'll be needing donations so we can get people to go out and collect signatures. I expect that since I sent this in, that the people in the states, their heads are spinning around because this is going to change the legal situation in Mississippi and allow doctors to study cannabis and prove efficacy. So I expect a lot of backlash from this. And actually, I'm kind of afraid for my life, to tell you the truth, because there's people making money on the drug war, and this is going to be considered an attack on their income stream. And
yeah, it sure is, Doc. I mean, stuff I'm reading.
Plenty mad at me.
Well, even the barter, the concept of going back to a barter system will just ruffle their fetters because they're not going to be able to tax it. And that will drive them insane. And you're right, your life would probably be on the line. If this gathers momentum and you get this many signatures, I would be in fear for my life too, because you're threatening industries that are making billions and billions and billions of dollars off the status quo right now. But that status quo must be changed, Doc. You know it and I know it. Look at the situation in our world right now as far as the health of the human beings. And you've been studying this plant for how many years now, 15 or 16 years of your life? You know what it does to the human being. It's really important that we get that information out there. I've shared it on my Facebook, and I've already had some people come back and say, wow, what great ideas. If I can help you share it out there, I would be glad to do that for you, my friend, because everything in there makes sense to me.
Well, anybody that wants to use this as a template and change it to whatever they want and submit it to their state, even if it's legal in your state, you can make it even more legal by doing something like this. You could change the law, but you'd have to have a lot of people sign it. Obviously, that's a hurdle. And not all states have this initiative process, so some states you're not going to be able to do this in.
I don't know how good that would go over in Canada. There's a lot of people that are aware of just how bad the new cannabis laws are in Canada. They're absolutely right. Atrocious. What Trudeau can do now, there's almost 50 charges that could put you in jail under the new laws, as opposed to about 7 prior to the new laws coming in. But then all we need to know, Doc, is anytime the government touches anything, it's going to turn to poop, isn't it? And it's happened here in Canada. People were going, yeah. But basically now the RCMP in Canada, they can pull me over. Yeah. They can pull me over on the side of the road, Doc, and an officer can walk up to the side of my vehicle. There won't be any smell, no drugs in the vehicle, nothing. But he can look into my eyes and say, you look like you've been smoking cannabis. I want a sample of your saliva right now on the side of the road. They're bringing these tests in. If you refuse that, you're automatically given an impaired charge and treated like somebody that's drunk. That's what they're doing in Canada right. with these laws now. The police have become the judge, jury, and executioner on the side of the highway. Yeah. People are starting to freak out about it because they all were going, yahoo. But we know there's always underlying agendas when they get involved in this kind of stuff. Go ahead, Doc.
Right. There's a study. There's a United States government study, NIH study, National Institute of Health. It's called Sexual Differences in Driving Performance Under the Influence of Marijuana. You could look that up.
Okay.
And it's a government study, and if you read the conclusion, it's a government study, so they're not going to come up to the right conclusion. But if you look carefully at Table 2, you'll see what they did was they took men and women and they put them on a driving simulator, and they checked their reactions to stuff, and they'd have like dogs run out in front of them, and they'd try to avoid the crash, and they measured a whole bunch of stuff, and they would do this before they smoked, and then they would measure the same person after they smoked. Okay, so it was a comparison against before and after you were inebriated. And women, interestingly, didn't show any difference. And that's a really good point itself. Men, however, had 1.1 seconds faster reaction time and three times better crash avoidance.
I'm laughing, Doc, because I'm sorry. I'm laughing, Doc, because anybody that knows me knows that I smoke cannabis. Okay, I'm not afraid to admit that. But my driving record is impeccable, and what you're saying is so true. I consider myself to be an absolute class driver after smoking a couple joints. It doesn't affect me at all. But go ahead, because you got me chuckling on.
Well,
and I know those studies are out there.
This doesn't show everything about cannabis. First off, I think if you're a new user, it does affect your driving.
I agree.
More than it does than if you're an old school person.
Right. I agree.
And so it doesn't measure everything, but in this government study, under some conditions, you are a safer driver if you're stoned than if you're not stoned. So this isn't the answer for everything, but
no.
This has some proof that you're not a dangerous driver if you're smoking. So more studies need to be done about this.
But I agree.
You know, these people, you know, about 6 years ago, I wrote an article about CBD in the treatment of Ebola. And it was based on the fact that there's a bunch of studies, scientific studies, that show that CBD stops septic shock and cytokine storm, and that's the mechanism that Ebola and many viruses kill you by. So when I wrote this, Governor Gary Johnson picked it up, and he said something about it on the news, and the pot haters hated it, and the pot lovers loved it. And my article was reprinted in 7 different languages, And the truth is, the same exact mechanism is applicable to COVID. And currently, there's like four or five different places that they're examining the efficacy of cannabis in different strains of cannabis in the treatment of Ebola. And so these pot haters that are trying to repress the science may be killing people in their own family by their ignorance. They should allow cannabis to be studied by scientists. What is the harm that you can cause by scientists proving or disproving cannabis efficacy on medical conditions?
Well, we know the answer to that, Doc. It's the biggest threat to the pharmaceutical industry known to man right now, that if it was fully
it's
exposed.
It's a financial threat.
Of course
exactly.
It is. Of course. You know, my buddy Rick Simpson, you know, when he first talked to me, Doc, years and years and years ago, first thing he ever said to me is, Barry, if everybody had a big jar of really good high-grade cannabis oil beside their bed, and every night before they went to bed, they took a dab of that and slept on it, you would see Big Pharma disappear. You would see medical conditions change. I've read so many reports and peer-reviewed studies, Doc, that I am absolutely convinced that it has incredible effects on the human body. And it's a travesty that we're at this point in history where this information is being suppressed from the public. Go ahead.
Well, it's crazy. We're going through a pandemic of this virus.
Scam-demic.
They want to prevent you from using this medicine that might save your family.
Yeah,
so
all the hypocrisy.
We don't know its effects, but why should they prevent us from trying it?
I take a little bit of cannabis oil in my diet every day of my life, Doc. I've been doing that for about 6 years now, with the exception of maybe two periods where I didn't have it for a very short period of time. But I take what I take in the morning, Doc. Honestly, if a normal person took what I take in the morning, I put it in capsules so I don't get it stuck in my mouth, but it's part of my regimen. And you know what? There's absolutely no buzz effect to me at all. I go in society, it seems like my brain works way better. And personally speaking, I can say that it does. It does affect your thought process and your brain. It affects the way you can speak. I've seen that over the years. I'm not saying I'm a good speaker, but I think it's really had an effect on my brain. And you know what? If you took it, or somebody that doesn't take cannabis on a regular basis, and took that little pill in the morning that I took, they would just lay down and they wouldn't be able to get off the couch for the rest of the day.
Right.
But you know, and I know that it acclimates in your body, the THC, your body acclimates to that THC, and after a while it has no effect on you at all. But the oil I'm taking is about 82% THC. I had it tested by a lab in Vancouver. Came back, I think, 378 on the CBDs, and the CBLs were about the same. Really good oil, and I take it every day. And it's doing miracles for my body. And chaga, Doc, and I've talked about that many times. Chaga mushroom.
Chaga mushroom, yeah.
Well, right. Oh, yeah, it's a superfood, Doc. It really is.
I'd like to come up there and hunt those with you someday.
Boy, Doc, I'll tell you what. You come up here when the mushroom season's going on. We'll go out, we'll pick chanterelles, we'll go pick pines. We will go pick chaga. Well, actually, you can't, because chaga has to be harvested in the wintertime. I just got some sent down from the Yukon, and it came from 150 miles below the tree line. In the Yukon. So it's right up there in really, really cold temperature. Chaga has to be harvested in minus 20 degrees consistently for about a two-week period. And then you get the concentration in the chaga. If you take it off the tree in the summertime, Doc, you're just absolutely spinning your wheels, because it'll have about 25 to 30% of the nutrients that it would have if it was taken off in the tree in the middle of winter at minus 20. It's because the nutrients concentrate in the chaga in the winter, and in the summertime they're in the tree doing the tree thing, right? So anything off a birch tree is good. Birch water is incredible. My buddy's getting some that this year. We're going to be going after the birch water. We're going to actually be making our chaga concentrate. Doc, you can stick a just like you're taking sap out of a tree, you can stick a little funnel in the side of the birch tree, and you will get birch water. And the amount that you take off the tree isn't going to have an effect on the tree at all. But if you take that birch water, a buddy of mine just did this down on Vancouver Island, and I'm always looking for ways to improve my chaga. And he's making his chaga now with birch water. And he says it's just astronomical. he's giving it to people. Anybody that gets on Chagadog, and I've been sharing it with people in my community now. I don't want to talk about it too long, but I've been sharing it in people in Terrace here for about 6 years, and everybody that I share it with is having positive effects. I've been using it for six years. And, Doc, I've only been to a doctor once in 6 years, and I only got sick once in 6 years, and that's when I didn't have Chaga. For about 2 months, I didn't have Chaga. I didn't have it. I had to get some more. I was waiting for it to come. Didn't have a little bit of money at that time. Anyways, I wasn't able to use it for about 2 months. And in that two-month period, I got sicker than a dog. I got knocked off my feet. People that were listening to my radio shows know that I wasn't on the air for about a month. I didn't have the strength to get off my couch. It was that bad. But I take it every day now, and, buddy, I swear by it. I swear by it. So anything good, well, it super boosts your immune system. And you know, Doc, that all our diseases in society, in medicine, seem to come from depleted immune systems, that our immune systems are under attack, right? We're exposed to chemicals. We're exposed to toxic food. GMOs are spraying crap in our skies. They're putting fluoride in our water. And that's all attacking our immune system, its ability to function. And it seems like most of our disorders come from immune system depletion. So what Chaga does, it super boosts the immune system. So get on it if you can, folks. And I won't say any more about Chaga today. I want to talk about, because I could really, honestly, Doc, I could go for an hour. It's, hey, on pets especially, Doc, I give it to my dog every day. My dog is 12 years old now. And people go, how old's your dog? And I go, he's 12. My dog, I swear, runs around like he's 4 years old. I run him about 15 kilometers every day, and he isn't slowing down at all. But he gets a squirt every morning. Every morning I take my jar of Chaga, and of course I love my dog like you wouldn't believe what you love your dogs like. And I take my little syringe, and he gets it every morning. And I tell you, Doc, there's a lady in town here, had a golden retriever. 7 years old, the golden retriever was really starting to suffer from what do they call it, hip dysplasia in a dog, where the hips start to deteriorate. Years old, the dog was walking around the yard having a hard time. Well, Sherry got her dog on Chaga, and after 3 months, she was in tears because her dog was running around like he was 4 or 5 years old again, and he wasn't showing the pain. I've heard my buddy had a dog with lumps all over its body. Right? These growths. And he got them on Chaga, and all the lumps have gone off his body. People are just in tears because they love, well, we know how much we love our animals. So anybody listening to me today, if you love your animal and you can get at Chaga and the animal's suffering from any kind of slowdown, get them on Chaga, buddy, because their bodies...
How much do you give them?
Well, Milo gets about an ounce and a half every day. In a syringe. I've got the syringe. I give him a little spray. I don't really measure it every day. I just suck it out. I look, okay, that's good. I give it to him. But he gets about an ounce and a half every day. I take about 2 ounces every day myself, Doc. And
do you because take the dog, 60 grams?
I take two ounces of...
An ounce is 30 grams.
Well, I take 2 ounces in a syringe every morning. Like, it's only, 2 ounces, like shot glass twice is what I drink every day in Chaga.
Yeah.
And I put it in my coffee in the morning. And I'll tell you, the other thing I've noticed, too, is when I play hockey, instead of drinking energy drink, what I do is I'll take my water to the rink, and I'll put about 2 ounces or 3 ounces of Chaga in my water. And just before I go on the ice, I'm playing goal, and it works like a dam, is I drink that just before I go on the ice. And all of a sudden, I'm hit with energy, and all of a sudden, I'm stopping the puck really well. It works like magic. So if you can get it, Doc, if you can find a health food store that sells Chaga, get it. If you can get it in cubes, I really recommend people get it in cubes because it allows you to make an extract. And what I do with the Chaga, it's called a low heat extraction, where I break my Chaga down to maybe 3 by 4 inch cubes. I put it into water and I simmer it at about 160 degrees for about 18 hours. Then I flash freeze those cubes. And what that does, it allows any spores in the Chaga that haven't been opened by the heat, when you flash freeze them, it shocks the Chaga and opens up the rest of the spores. You put it back in your pot of water. You do it a simmer for about another 18 hours, and you're getting about 80% of the nutrients in your Chaga. So if you get it in lumps, go on the internet. There's all kinds of sites to tell you how to do this. I just gave you a rundown on it, but you can go on the internet and punch in low heat extraction of Chaga, and the sites will come up and tell you what I just told you. So that's what I've been doing for about 6 years now, Doc. And my body, I'm 66, and I my body feels great, Doc. I don't have any problems, and I'm in tune with it. I'm listening to it all the time because I got people around me that are just sick. Like, I'm losing friends left, right, and center. I've lost 5 friends here in the last year, all younger than me, to heart attacks. Right. So I can only
How's
say
the COVID working. Situation up there?
There is no COVID up here, but there's people walking around with masks like sheeple. It's just sick. There is no COVID up here, Doc. And there hasn't been since it started. You ask people up here if they know anybody that knows anybody that knows anybody that's been affected by it. Well, you know, to me, sir, this is no more than a common flu. I've looked at numbers here for the last 3 months in Canada on all provinces. I've studied this extensively. And to me, I don't see anything more than a common flu on steroids being ramped up by medical professionals that are not medical professionals. Coming from the World Health Organization, which that is run by communist China. That's my position on it.
Well, when the government lies about marijuana, you can't trust them on any other level. So it affects their trust on everything else they do.
Exactly.
There's 4,000 people dying a day in the United States. So this is more than any cold virus. This is not an influenza at all. This is, and it's really insidious because you don't have a whole lot of symptoms before you go into septic shock. Mm-hmm. So you know you get a little bit of sore throat, maybe a temperature, maybe not. Maybe a little rhinitis, maybe some diarrhea, but really minimal symptoms. And then all of a sudden, you start having, what happens is the virus replicates inside the cell. It hijacks your DNA, and it uses your cellular machinery to make more protein virus. And after a bunch of virus is made inside the cell, the cell bursts and it releases all these virus particles into the blood system. And if you have had a previous exposure and your white cells are armed with antibodies, then what happens is the white cells bust open and they release all their proteolytic enzymes in an attempt to digest the protein of the virus. So it basically attacks the protein and cuts the proteins into little pieces, and so it digests the protein. That's how it kills the virus. But when the white cells bust open and release all these proteolytic enzymes, one cell causes the cells, neighboring cells, to do the same thing, and then they release their stuff. And then it causes a continuous reaction. It's like a nuclear reaction. So one cell burst causes a million other cells to burst open and releases all these proteolytic enzymes all at once. And that's called the cytokine storm. And that causes septic shock and it causes disseminated intravascular coagulation, DIC, and that's just a fancy term for it causes these little blood clots in your blood, and they plug up all the arterioles and capillaries. And so by doing this, it causes organ failure of your lungs and liver and kidneys and brain and everything else. So when the cytokine storm starts, it causes a cascade of trouble that result in organ failure because it just blocks off the blood vessels.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, anybody that's at risk for COVID infection, which is everybody, you should be taking vitamin D on a daily basis and CBD, cannabidiol, and some people are saying zinc and this medicine called NAC or N-acetylcysteine is good for preventing COVID viruses. So every day I'm taking vitamin D and NAC and zinc and CBD if I can get it.
Well, so far in Canada right now, I'm just looking at the numbers here, Doc, and so far there's only been 15,000 people die in Canada, and those 15,000 people, the percentages of death are between 70 and 80 years of age represents about 98% of the deaths in Canada. That right now in Canada, I just went and looked at all the stats here yesterday and the day before. Under the age of 70 years of age, we've only lost 240 people under the age of 70 years of age in Canada since the start of this in March of last year. Those are the numbers right from all kinds of different sources. So I say if these are true, and if they're true, then we should be focusing on the seniors in our society. In Ontario, the reports came out that 98% of the deaths of the seniors that were dying from this were happening in old age care facilities. These are right from government stats. They can't hide these numbers. I'm kind of looking at this, and I'm just sitting on the fence. But we're actually out of time, Doc, believe it or not. This hour went really quick. It really did. We've got about 1 minute left. And, I'd love to have you back here in the near future, Doc, to carry on these conversations. Cannabis is one of my favorite subjects, something that I have so much enthusiasm when we talk about it, because I realize how much it can influence our world. It could change our whole world upside down. And for what you're doing, sir, I praise you. And if I can help you get this initiative out anywhere, I'm at your service. So last thoughts from you.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Okay,
if you have any connections with people in the business that would like to see legalization of scientific study of cannabis, please turn them on to me, and maybe we can collaborate.
I would be glad to do that, Doc, and I know a lot of people that are in this world, so good to talk to you again. Okay,
Barry, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, Doctor. Okay, folks, I'm going to be back in about 3, 4, or 5 minutes, and I got Wayne Peters coming in and Derek Story, and they've got a lot of stuff to talk about what's going on in this great country of Canada. I'll be back in a short few minutes. Welcome back, second hour, guys, and always good to have the doctor in, and promise to get him back here real soon. I am joined by Wayne Peters from What's Up Canada and Derek Story from Noble Savages. I got that right, did I?
I got it right.
That's okay. When you get to be my age, your tongue twists a lot. But anyways, always good to have these two guys in. Had a chance to talk to Wayne yesterday for a little bit and got into a real good conversation. To say there's a cascade of events to talk about right now would be an understatement, but where you guys want to go first, Canadian politics or what's going on in the States?
Start with your pet peeve and we'll just aggravate you.
Well, even though we got a lot of crap going on up here, I think what's going on down there is going to have more of a bearing on what's going on in our lives in the near future if it doesn't go the way I think it's going to go here. And I've had some real good things come across my plate here today about what's going on, hearing all kinds of rumors, you know what rumors are, but hearing from some pretty good people so far. So I don't know what you guys are hearing, but I think we're going to see some crazy events happen down there in the next week. What do you think?
We get a lot of questions. We've been really laser focused on what's been happening down south of the border for the last couple of weeks now, and we're getting a lot of Canadians are asking, why are you focusing on American politics? Why are you focusing on American politics when everything up here is such a mess? And we tend to underestimate the implications of everything that happens down south of the border there. I often think that it has a bigger impact in Canada than it does in the States, just simply because we have such a smaller population. So a little thing down there creates really big ripples up here. And right, I think on a global scale, this is the probably going to be the biggest historic changing event in history, potentially, in our recorded history, even perhaps.
We gotta
pay attention.
Oh, we do, and you couldn't emphasize that enough, Wayne. What's going on right now is historical. I don't believe for one second that Joe Biden is going to be president. If he does get to that point, then people don't realize what's going to happen in Canada. Because old Joe and Justin have already got their plans laid down, and they're both on board with what's going to happen in the very near future to both our countries. This has got to be stopped. The way I see it right now, if Trump doesn't stop this, then it would raise a lot of questions about his true intentions right from the beginning. He's obligated, as far as I'm concerned, Wayne, to stop this. It's his duty as President of the United States of America that our future is on the line here, guys. It really is. And you couldn't emphasize that enough. You really could.
Well, whether we like it or not, we are Siamese twins to the Americans. We are going to forever be joined by the biggest border between nations in the world. And that's not going to change. The thing that people, I think, are underestimating, and this is largely in part to the mainstream media being in a frenzy for the last 4 years since he won the election, that in the meantime, since then, with one hand tied behind his back and cement boots on, he has still managed to achieve everything he said he was going to do. He's pretty much done it. And he's not the kind to back away and cower from a fight. And there's so many different events that indicate that this is exactly the case of what's going on here right now. Like, I mean, when you look at the frenzy that the left is in, all they would have had to do is keep their mouths shut for 3 weeks and make people would believe that maybe Joe Biden might actually have won this thing. But the incessant attacks on him, and now with what is 11 days left or 10 days left, they want to talk impeachment and all of the rest of this garbage. I mean, they couldn't impeach him the first time when they had 6 months or 3 years to do it. What makes them think they're going to get it done in 10 days? And what purpose does it serve? This is not about politics. This is about saving their necks. That's it. That's all. And Trump's not going to walk away from that easily.
Oh, yeah. Nancy Pelosi was pretty scared.
Screaming at the top of her lungs. Screaming. I saw that video. Oh, yeah. I'm going, what is this lady on? What is this lady on, man? Like, what kind of drug is she taking now? You know, to me, this isn't about Trump. This is about what's right and what's wrong. Trump is there. He's standing right now. You know, there is nobody else standing for what's right, whether you like Trump or not. I've said many times, man, that I sit on the fence, that I believe everybody's playing a role in this world right now. What his role is, I can't put my finger on it exactly. But to say that there is no other choice right now, if we want any semblance of freedom going forward in this world right now, what else do we have? We have Joe Biden. You know, if you look at Kamala Harris, I mean, Kamala will be president in 30 days if Joe Biden becomes president, folks. There's no intention of leaving him there. No intention at all.
I almost think Basement Joe there is worse than Trudeau.
Who?
Basement Joe Biden.
Oh, look at what he's been involved with just in the last little while, man. I mean, he's just as dirty as any of them. It's unbelievable that these people are running around. Ukraine's got an international warrant out now for Joe.
The evidence that's coming out is absolutely beyond comprehension. And truthfully, it's extremely disturbing. I've had access to some of the images and some of the content off of those laptops, and it is the kind of stuff that nightmares don't even do justice. It is these people are monsters. You cannot classify them as humans because humans wouldn't do what these people do habitually. And what's to me the biggest terrifying point of it all is with 2 weeks left of his first term, regardless of the election results, we have seen big tech make the biggest move in exerting their force. This is absolutely astonishing that they have completely shut down the still serving president of the United States has been shut down from every communication platform out there. And if that isn't enough, they shut down the platforms. And as if that isn't enough, any person that has ever supported or endorsed him or had anything to do with him has been shut down. They have purged at least 5 million conservative accounts, and they haven't even gotten power yet. What's going to happen if they do? This is what the world needs to be absolutely mortified of, if you ask me.
Well, they're also trying to tackle the conservative news, too. They're trying to shut down Blaze TV. They're trying to take all their footage. They're trying to hide evidence of the right side of the protest.
This is what we're seeing right now, gentlemen, is an all or nothing move. It's their backs are up against the wall. They know that, and they're pulling out all the stops. And what we've seen here in the last week with the censorship ramping up, it boggles my mind, but in the same muscle it doesn't, because one of the books I have read, and I understand how it plays out, is the Communist Manifesto. And we're right now, according to the timeline that's laid out in the manifesto, how things roll out in society and what certain instances will trigger a major takeover, we're really close to the end of that timeline. And I find it very, very interesting. We're definitely in a pile of problems right now. People better wake up.
Well, when you start to study history and the cycles of it, even within the last couple of hundred years, this left versus right or good versus evil, however you choose to describe it, has repeated itself. This pattern is consistent with what we're seeing now. The only difference between what's been going on now and, say, 100 years ago is the advancements of technology has really empowered the left to try to make their one world takeover pull. And that said, I think the thing that is kind of held them in check a little bit, or that has kind of thrown a monkey wrench or a spanner wrench into things, is that Brexit was a turning point when the UK voted to get out of the EU. That started to trigger a series of events that they really put them into a panic mode. And they saw their power slipping away. They saw their investment, their 30, 40, 50, 60-year generational investment in this takeover it scared them, and they tend to just knee-jerk and overreact and go for the gusto, and the more they did that, the more they proved all of us right. Mm-hmm. The sad truth of it is conspiracy. So what was conspiracy theory a year ago is more factual than anything mainstream media puts out at this point in time. So.
how true that is, Wayne. I mean, I look at. Go ahead, Derek.
I was going to say, you know, like they call us tinfoil hat wearers, but who's wearing the face shields and the masks? It's able to kind of turn you for your mask wearers and stuff like that. But I've been just sitting back and watching. I've been censored. I'm on YouTube jail, Facebook jail. I just been sitting back and watching, and it's just all over the place.
Well, what we're seeing right now is all out of tech. That big tech. If things go the way they should, and Trump is president again, you're going to see these guys all held accountable for what they're doing right now to the public. You cannot censor a sitting prime president of the United States of America off all social platforms. Does that not ring? People should be screaming right now, whether you're on the left or right. When you take free speech like that out of society, you're basically in full-blown communism or fascism or a steroid of both.
If you put it into a perspective of scale, what is happening right now is happening on a global scale. So really, I mean, if you start to look at the numbers of people being affected by this in one fell swoop has impacted more living souls than Stalin or Mao or Castro or any of these tyrants. If you combine all of what they've done and the people that they've murdered compared to the scale of what we're doing here now, all they did was scale up. And what they've done in those communist countries, they're trying to engage on the entire planet. The entire planet. So that's 7 billion people that are fighting or facing fascism and communism, not just one nation at a time.
Well, yeah, absolutely. What we're seeing is global. It's a global agenda being played out right now on steroids. I mean, I looked at that video the other day from Scotland, and their full lockdowns and these police going into a woman's house and how they handled their citizens. I mean, we see this all over the world right now. We see it in Canada where police are becoming very, very heavy-handed. Or so it seems to our citizens. Wayne, I mean, what do you say about that? Where's that all going?
Well, perfect example of that is Quebec, where their curfews and mandatory lockdowns started at 8 o'clock last night, and so already last night you've got groups of armed militarized Stasi chasing down anybody that steps out of their house at 8 p.m. because this unidentified pandemic is intelligent enough to tell time. Like, I mean, this is just absolutely insanity. Anybody that questions whether this is about health or about control is clearly, seriously misinformed at every level.
Absolutely. And if it's there, it's coming here. You know that, Wayne. It's going to be across the country. Look what's going on in New Zealand. They're going into a full military-style lockdown in 4 days from now, announced by their government. We see it going on in Scotland. We see it being announced in all kinds of countries right now. We see the numbers being given to the public as being skyrocketing across the world. They are really going to ramp this up, buddy. It's scary times.
Well, Quebec isn't even the only province. New Brunswick, I believe, starts there pretty much the exact same regime on Tuesday. And today, Mr. Ford is threatening and talking about the same thing in Ontario. And Mr. Kenny has been scolding the people in Alberta, saying they're not behaving, so punish them some more. Mm-hmm. So this is the trend. This is their new normal. When they say new normal, this is what they're talking about. They've been misleading people for a very long time about what their new version or vision of the new normal is. And it is straight up hardcore communism, the likes of which the world will likely have never seen before, just because these guys are technocrats. They're not the old school Nazis. Gas chambers are too messy. They're choosing vaccines and militarized police to do their dirty work this time around. But it's the same evil.
It is, Wayne. And you know what? It terrifies me. It terrifies me for my country right now. I got to be honest. Anybody that's not terrified right now for the country is telling you a lie. That all we can do right now is just really kind of on our end put the pedal to the metal. I know you've got an initiative coming up this week. I see all kinds of other people coming up with initiatives right now. We really are in a very, very dark time, and we could lose it all, folks. And I don't like to be a fearmonger. I'm not a fearmonger. I honestly never consider myself as a fearmongering type of individual, but I've never seen the potential for the complete takeover of society. And, you know, we've talked many times of how they could do that, Wayne. Well, you know they've got society locked down. You know they're going to put the fear virus on full steroids here. In the next couple, 3 months, they're just going to blow this right out of the water, and people will be running and hiding, and all of a sudden, the dollar collapses. Oh, my God, you want to see chaos in society? Well, there's a scenario we should talk about, because I believe that's one of the things they're going to use this year to bring society right to their knees. Go ahead.
Well, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm not a financial wizard, but I know a few. And it's been what people aren't necessarily seeing, because our government is absolutely hiding the truth on every level from us, is that the international banks were so heavily leveraged into the EU cryptocurrency they know that the current financial system cannot sustain itself. They have been, and that's the large part of what they've been stealing all of this money from citizens in the free market societies for, is to cover their interest debts on the loans that they're creating. And when that can no longer work, these international banks are going to collapse. We're seeing announcements here in Canada where CNIB, TD, Royal, they're all threatening a complete collapse, and they're going to be waiting in the wings with their cryptocurrency. But, you know, there again, what they're not telling people is actually causing them a lot of strife in the fact that the resistance is also global. And little things that we don't necessarily have access to or get to see, like I believe it was Austria pulling out of the EU cryptocurrency deal there, really panics them. And so this is why, I mean, there's so many different fronts in this war that are going on. And we have to accept that our antiquated in definition of what war means to us is incorrect in the modern time. We have been at war for a very long time. It just hasn't been what they call a static war. We haven't been shooting each other. There hasn't been tanks and cannons and artillery and that kind of stuff. This has been an information and a psychological war that has been meant to beat down the free will of people, to program as many as they could, to bribe and blackmail as many as they could, the assaults on every cornerstone of our society in the West here have been under assault for decades, and it's simply to break the free will of the people, and it's not working. It's not working. So this is as much as I don't want to be a fear monger, fear is a natural human response. One of the responses that they want to genetically engineer away from us, but fear makes us aware, and if you're not aware, you cannot fight, you cannot resist. So when I look at these things that are happening here right now, and when I look at it from the different altitudes, from right in front of our face, the big fires, to getting up to 10,000 feet and seeing the whole battle, which is tough for people to do because the access to information is really, really difficult to get out there. But I'll tell you what, Barry, for as much fear as out there, I think there's as much hope, because if there's one thing that humans do is adapt, improvise, and overcome. And the free will of man will, and the survival instinct and all of those things, as more people wake up to this, and there's just a few things that are missing from toppling this whole charade. And I think we're getting close to seeing that happening. We're going to start seeing some major victories in the next couple of weeks, I think. I do have faith in what Mr. Trump is doing down there. And this comes from my understanding of that the wheels of media turn at a far different speed than what the wheels of justice do. And Mr. Trump has had no choice but to follow every step and level of the law, until he gave them literally enough rope to hang themselves. And we were talking about this earlier today. For people that are aware, this Insurrection Act that he pre-saw and signed in 2018, this is what is really going on. It's a bunch of criminals really desperately trying to save their own lives right now, and they will stop at nothing to do so, and their time is running out.
Well, we're going to definitely see some interesting things happen here in the next 10 days. Nobody will dispute that, Wayne. I hope it goes well. I really do. But if it happens to go the wrong way, we'll have to definitely deal with that road when we cross it, because it'll be a different world if Joe Biden was ever allowed to take the presidency of the United States of America. We'll talk a little about the show, buddy. Well, yeah, go ahead. But, the implications for Canada are mind-boggling. Go ahead.
I don't think that there can be any doubt that our world, regardless of what happens here now, whether the good triumphs over evil, regardless, our world is going to be changed forever. Exactly like after 9/11, for 9/11, we measured our life and our existence pre-9/11, post-9/11, and this is exactly what we're going to have to face, is that life as we know it moving forward, whichever way this goes, we're going to be looking at history as pre-COVID, post-COVID. And the sad part of it is that it's a PR and marketing stunt is really all it is, and that's going to be the marker point in history.
Mm. Well, and I know, Wayne, this COVID will never go away until people stand up and make it go away. It won't go away. They'll continue to ramp this up. We'll be seeing COVID-21, COVID-29, COVID-37, and they will continue. They're not going to stop, Wayne. I mean, they unleashed this in the spring, and they got the reaction from the public. Trudeau stood up there and said 50,000 people are going to die, maybe 350,000 Canadians. Everybody went into panic mode, full emergency lockdown. Here we are, almost a year later, and we're still dealing with this. It's never going to go away, Wayne. They've got a new level of power. They're drunk. They're never going to give it back unless people get their poop together and stand up against it. That's the only way it's going to come to a stop, in my opinion.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I kind of call this the commie virus or the communist virus, because just like communism, it's an unsustainable system. It cannot it cannot sustain itself, and it cannot scale itself. All it can do is drain itself. And you can never appease communism or fascism. You can never give them enough. And just like this communism, we will never be able to give it enough to appease those that wield the medical tyranny wand. Right. So it can only go one direction if we don't stop it.
Yeah, well, look what it's done to our country in the last year, Wayne. People don't look at the effects of society. That's never talked about on mainstream. You don't hear reports on suicides or domestic violence or spousal abuse or anything that's gone through the roof here in Canada and the United States of America and around the world since this thing was unleashed on us. Devastating effects on our society. Look what we're doing to our children, man. That is the most – what we're doing to our children right now is beyond insanity. It really comes from very, very evil people that know the effects that it's having on our children, realize all the implications, and want it to go ahead. That's pretty evil in my world. But those are the people we're dealing with, Wayne.
You know what baffles me is we like to think of ourselves as an intelligent, educated, well-off society, when in fact, when we take it doesn't take much of a look around to realize that due to our rogue state service corporation, we have coerced half of this country, or more than half of this country, to inflict torture and terrorism on their own families and their own children, and the other half of our society to personally enforce it, to police it.
Yeah. Report your neighbors, guys. Report your neighbors.
Yeah, right? So it's not good enough. It's not good enough to even be human in your own home anymore that the communist neighbor will force more torture and terrorism on you if you do not comply. They will bring in the Stasi to help, right? So
yeah.
This is just absolutely mind-boggling to me that people continuously try to not ruffle any feathers, to not make any waves, to comply for convenience.
Go along to get along.
And continue to aid and abet the by definition, torture and terrorism on their own families. It's I don't know what it's going to take for people to wake up for that, but this is where we're at as a society and as a nation, as a culture, as a planet right now, pretty much.
I don't know, Wayne. What they're doing to our kids in schools is beyond anything I thought I'd see in my lifetime. That the most important thing for a child when they're growing up is to be able to interact. And the next most important thing for a child when they're growing up is to be able to get close to their friends and grab those bugs off their buddies and put them in their bodies so you can build your immune system. But now we're creating sterile environments for our children. People don't realize, Wayne, the effect that this is going to have on the immune system of these developing children. No idea the neurological damage, permanent neurological damage that can be done by, for number one, putting a mask on somebody that age, but also the mental effect, the trauma that's been put into these children's lives that's completely unnecessary, but coming from a very, very evil source, because these people know the effect that this is going to have on the children in the future. They're basically creating a world of zombies. I mean, it'll be zombie apocalypse in your face in 5 years. Go ahead.
You know, it's we've got 8-year-olds committing suicide in Canada.
Yeah.
There is nothing more important for human survival than human connection and our humanity. And every single agenda that they are engaging against us has one point and one focus, and that is to dehumanize us, to remove our humanity, to keep us from human contact, to keep us looking like robots, to keep us from seeing facial expressions, to keep us from reading body language. Everything that we are being bombarded with is strictly to that goal, is to keep us from being human. Because of some of these sycophants and these technocrats that want us all plugged into the matrix by 2030 and creating drones and clones, right?
You know, thanks to the media for that. Actually, the government of Canada, actually Trudeau's government and the media, I was reading earlier, are fearful that right-wingers are going to do the same thing to Parliament and try to kill politicians.
Oh, the hate reports coming out right now. You look at antihatenetwork.ca and the report that they launched this week. They're literally expecting us to
killing people.
Yeah, yeah. Charge Parliament Hill. Okay, go arrest them all because they're going to charge Parliament Hill.
Well, the funny thing is,
the insanity.
They're bringing stuff back to the guy that drove through the Manitoba soldier that drove through the gates. And they're trying to, like, in this new one that happened in Saskatchewan, Zog there's a standoff because of his beliefs of Constitution and the government and all that. They're really starting to push the brainwashing for the people that are standing up for the right thing and are standing up for the truth, making us look like the boogeyman at full front.
Of course, marginalizing.
All over the place.
Hey, Wayne, tell people about what happened to that guy in Saskatchewan. You're up on it a little bit more than me. I read a little bit about it. Tell people about that. That was insane.
Well, I mean, he was a millennial age guy, and he's been active, throughout, you know, like most of us have, and not everybody is 50 years old and articulate and learned and able to express themselves well, but for the most part, this guy had just been doing some home videos talking about the constitutional problems and the corruption and, you know, asking people, you know, why are you bowing to communism and fascism? I would rather die going out fighting than to bow to that. And he was raided by SWAT teams and armored vehicles and everything else three hours north of Regina because he was a threat and uttering threats and he was a danger. So this, we have to understand that this sets a precedent. And now the hate makers, the ones that tell the ones the lies, yeah, Monsters, Inc., the ones that tell the lies have now another case in point of the dangers of nationalism and patriotism. We're lethal, and I mean, this just plays right into the next wave here with the the anti-COVID people. They are already leveraging that against us as a medical bio threat. You can be separated from your family without provocation, justification, warrants, anything like that. They are writing themselves the laws to do whatever they want with zero accountability and zero ability to discuss it. And don't you dare go onto a social media platform and say anything that counters their narrative or you will flat out be canceled, no matter what you do.
Yeah. On the other side of that coin, Barry, they're pushing that right wing, or not right wingers, I'm not going to use that term, but like people that are speaking like we do are mental health cases. We all have firearms. So they're going to try to make a push for their firearm grab through that, because every time they label someone as a right winger, just like adding in that soldier that drove through the gates with a 4 loaded guns, they're going to start using that. Well, these guys are all mental health cases. We got to take their guns. you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying, though.
Of course I do. I just can't believe that this is what's really happening in Canada. In such a short period of time.
We're distracted watching America. This is what they're doing.
Oh, I know. They're right out of control up here. Well, British Columbia all of a sudden came out yesterday and announced massive and new restrictions and new enforcements of existing this and that, and blah, 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 and no exceptions to masks, blah, 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 period. They're really going to ramp it up out here, but we're seeing it right across the country, guys. This is not good at all. It really is a scary time. It's a scary time that we're in right now. It really is. I don't know when they'll shut us all down. That could happen tomorrow. That could happen next week. You look at what Big Tech's already done. They've censored the President of the United States of America. Well, if they can do that, they can censor anybody with no accountability. They could shut us all down tomorrow, and we'd have no recourse except for alternative.
You have to wonder who holds the most power, the President of the United States or Silicon Valley?
Well, I think we got the answer to that, didn't we? We got an answer. But I think it's all going to be corrected, I believe. I have to keep that thought in mind, that we're seeing a giant charade being played out.
And the purging of any business that has anything to do with the Trump campaign, whether they wrote a book, whether they had a restaurant and put a donation to Trump's campaign, you're toast. Their Lincoln Project has literally been detailing and taking notes and stalking, it's probably the most accurate term, and creating their hit lists. And when they decide to do this, this is where we're seeing, you know, tens of millions of accounts and businesses shut down, killed off, and terminated, canceled. And they're not even in power. What are they going to do when they do have power, if they get power?
Can't happen, Wayne. It can't happen, or I'm going to have a very bad day. We're all going to have a very bad day. Very, very bad. It's going to be like, okay, I think I'm ready to go to the cave.
There's a couple of things that give me a lot of comfort and hope. And one is that insanity is unsustainable. And at the end of the day, God wins.
Amen.
And so we're all praying that this turns out the way it has to turn out right now. Like I said, it's not about Trump. It's about the Constitution of the United States of America and right and wrong. And if this does not go for Trump's favor,
evil, man.
is good against evil right now, and boy, they're just licking their lips right now. The thought of taking power of the most prestigious office in the world has got them doing somersaults, and they're going to do everything they can to make this come down. And I wouldn't put a civil war off as not a possibility here going forward, guys. There is going to be violence erupt if Trump is, if it comes out and it's announced that Donald Trump is your president for the next 4 years, which I believe it's going to be announced. I believe you're going to see military tribunals. I might be wrong, but I believe that's what's going to happen. Then there is going to be chaos erupt. But I think they're prepared for that also. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Trump made one of the most profound statements, I think, that he ever did about a year ago, and it kind of slipped under the radar a little bit. And I think people are maybe starting to be aware of it now, is that when he said that they're not coming for me, they're coming for you. And by that, he meant the people, for their way of life. And this is what they're seeing now, that even with Trump, supposedly, their media is telling the world that Trump's gone, the election's over, he lost, he's going to disappear, and they're just taking a running head start on coming for the people. So I would have to, I have to ask people sometimes, you know, if Trump is gone and they're coming for you, will you fight it then? Or are you just waiting for Trump to fight your fight for you? Because at the end of the day, if they come for Trump and they get him, they're still coming for us, and they're going to get us, and we have got to do more than nothing if we want to come out of this on the other side.
Well, none of us know exactly how it's going to play out, Wayne. Not in our hands. It's going to play out the way it's going to play out. For me right now, if this does go and Biden becomes president, then I have to say that Trump would be a player all the way along. Because as president of the United States of America, it's his duty, it's his sworn duty to protect the Constitution. And it is under attack in multiple places right now. It's his duty to protect it. If he doesn't, at the end of the day, that would speak volumes. But I believe right now that there's lots of meetings going on with very, very powerful people in Trump's circle. And we're going to see some interesting stuff come forward. I'll go with that.
This is an interesting little tidbit that I haven't been able to corroborate yet, but there's a story starting to develop that perhaps Mr. Assange himself is in one of those bunkers with Sidney Powell and General Flynn and President Trump. And this kind of really fits the direction that things were going, because that's one of the other stories that I've been following for a long time. And I really think that Julian was taken out of where he was and put into a custody situation where he could be kept alive. And if this is, in fact, the case, I suspect we'll hear about this in the next day or two. It'll be confirmed. But if that is the case, that's really like the last of the nails in the coffin. We take a look at some of the other events that are unfolding around the world right now. I just got a notification here about a half an hour ago that the power is gone from Buckingham Palace. So here we've got, in Europe, we've got the Vatican has had the power taken out. The entire nation of Pakistan has had their power taken out. Right. Buckingham Palace has had their power taken out. What do all of these places have in common?
So is that right now? Is that just current, that news clip? Because I haven't seen that one. I was aware of what happened in Pakistan. Yeah. I was aware of what happened in the Vatican. I also heard about a couple other instances last night, but I haven't been able to verify it. But is that one in Buckingham? Is that in England right now? Is that current? Did that just come out?
I got notification about that about a half an hour ago. They had given a statement that a deep underground cable had malfunctioned to Buckingham Palace, but it's just too much of a coincidence for me to believe that it's just a coincidence.
So it's just the palace that went dark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Huh. What's going to be next, Wayne? What is going on out there, buddy? What world did we wake up in?
Well, it's snowing in Texas today.
Snowing in Texas now.
It is.
We got some good earthquakes happening today, too, buddy. I follow them every day, and we had a couple big ones hit today again. They're going off like firecrackers, and the magnitudes are increasing. There is no doubting that at all, that she is rocking and rolling down there. So it doesn't look like it's going to settle down.
We've talked about this a little bit over the past couple of weeks, of the energy level, the natural energy, the electricity that, you know, that keeps us connected. There's really been a very noticeable shift in the energy around the planet. And I think this is all, we are at the crescendo of the biggest battle in our human existence. And I think it's as terrifying as it is, it's also an opportunity, and it's an opportunity to fix things right, to do things better. I'm not going to use any of the terms that these globalists use because they're hidden and wrapped in cloaked in corruption and crime. But we are absolutely entering a period in time of great human enlightenment. We have had the largest transfer of knowledge and truth in human history has happened in this past year. And when we do come out on the other side, whether it's in my lifetime or the next, I think humanity is going to be in for the most glorious time of its existence. So, I mean, when you're this comes to me from my, you know, some of my background. When I was in the middle of a fire, neck deep in the goo, things are pretty terrible. But at the end of the day, when you walked away and you see the sunshine, it's a way better day. So we can't lose ourselves in the moment, I think, and have to keep looking through to the other side. And this is a time of faith, and that doesn't necessarily just mean a religion or God or any of those kinds of things. We have to have faith in higher powers, things we can't understand, and have faith in our own humanity to an extent. I mean, we've seen examples of what faith does for us as humans through any kind of adversity, and that's the one thing that is consistent about our species. We do adapt, improvise, and overcome, and fix it. And this is what that opportunity, I believe, represents. And in the meantime, we're focusing very hard on keep just holding the line here in Canada, keeping the fight strong, holding the line, and letting Mr. Trump fix what he needs to fix. And I've got a really strong background in military strategies and those kinds of things. And this, they're playing right into his hand here. If I was the commander-in-chief of that war, I would be sitting back and grinning somewhere, having some popcorn. And I mean, that's not to be callous about the lives lost, the troubles and strifes and suffering that is going on. But on the measurement of the battle scale, I think Trump is absolutely, the tide is going to turn, and he's going to be able to undo in a very short period of time what took them generations to do.
Well, like I said, it's going to be an interesting time coming up here, Wayne. It really is. This is a monumental time in our history. The implications, like I said, are far and wide. I have to agree with you that, you know, good has to come over top of evil here. Even though, like I said, we don't know how it's going to play out in the future. I go by what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me about this particular time. It talks to me about a lot of things that are relevant to today and where we're going in the future. And I believe that in the future there will be a time of 1,000 years of peace on this planet. But I think we're going to go through some poop before we get there. I think it's going to be necessary. Interesting times, my friend. Really is interesting times. Definitely indications for all kinds of things to come forward. You know, I look at the RFID chip and how that's really being ramped up in society. I look at the push now for cashless society. I look at all the mechanism controls that they're putting in place that are really going to make it hard to deal outside of their realms of possibility going in the near future. They'll have complete control of everything, and that's where they're heading. And that's biblical also, the rise of the Antichrist. We've got to talk about that sometime, because the Bible talks about it in detail, that there will be a one world ruler. And that's the way the world is now with our monetary systems and everything else they're putting in place. That could be a real possibility. Go ahead.
I think if you put the world to a global vote right now, they'd have a one world leader, and he'd have bright yellow hair.
Yeah. Well, he, you know, well, let's talk about that. You know, there could be something to discuss there too, you know, because I am not a Trump supporter. I can't say I don't like things that Trump has done. I understand right now that his role is absolutely standing against everything that's evil. But what is going to happen in the future, Wayne? Do people turn? Do things turn upside down? Well, we know they have in the past. And for me, I'll sit on the fence. Right now, to not support Donald Trump, you'd be stupid, because there is nothing right now standing in the way of total domination for the world's governors, the people that want to bring these programs into place. There'd be nothing stopping them. How it's all going to play out, I don't have the answers for that. But I have to sit on the fence a little bit, buddy. I think we're being in a giant psyops myself.
I'll put it simple. You know, you don't have to like a man to know that he's the right man for the job, right? And there's a lot of people that liked Mr. Trudeau, but he was never the right man for the job. So, I mean, as far as liking Mr. Trump, I never really did. I highly respect what he has done. But there again, those are personal feelings, and feelings don't matter when it comes to facts. The facts, bottom line, are he is the right man for the job. He is the only man in American history that has been able to do what he's been able to do. And he's done more than most of the other presidents combined, and he's done it 4 years. With, like I said before, you know, his one hand tied behind his back and wearing cement boots.
Yeah, well, he's been under attack from the first minute he stepped in the White House. Even before that, the plans were in place. And we know about all the players and what went on here in the last 4 years, and the guy survived. And you're right, he's achieved a lot with one hand tied behind his back and a cement boot on. I won't argue that fact at all, Wayne. I'm just always a little bit leery. I am. I say to myself, if things are too good to be true, then they might not be true. I'm not saying that I'm against what he's doing. I didn't say I'm against Trump. Because right now he is, like you said, the only person that's standing against complete takeover of our society by socialism. I'm just looking a couple years down the road, and the fact that he would be the most popular man in the world. If he was to attain that position, what knows goes on in the future, I don't know. But I'll sit on the fence a little bit, but I have to support him at this point, absolutely. We have no choice.
Well, there is no other choice. If a person has any respect or semblance for their nation or their culture or their identity or their life or their family, this is a time where we have to learn how to put the feelings behind the facts and to do what's right, not what's easy. And this is what we need to. This is the big difference in Canada here right now. You know, and this is where people are, I guess, a little more fearful than active. And if they could change fear into focus, and we were able to, you know, collectively put our purpose ahead of our feelings, we have got I would bet the lion's share of the population is awake. They are aware that there is really, really, really bad, wrong things happening. But everybody's got a different feeling about the way to do it, or, you know, they want to put their personal passion ahead of the country. And if we could put that away for 5 minutes and together come to a single productive action and focus, this could all be over in a heartbeat.
I agree, Wayne. I'm not going to argue that fact at all. But the fact is that society is so divided. It blows my mind, the divisions in society. I see people now in towns and cities that, you know, families are turning against each other, that you have families actually reporting other family members for violations of health laws. We saw what happened in Quebec. I mean, this is really out of control. You got report lines in Alberta and Saskatchewan now. If you see somebody violating a health law, phone them in and we'll come over and take care of them. Well, boy, we're in Germany in 1936 right now, my friends. Almost to the T. Almost to the T.
Yeah. And the difference between now and then is in those days, business was done 8 hours a day. Now it's done 24 hours a day. So everything happens at least three times faster.
So where are you guys? You guys are still in Edmonton right now, or I lost track of you again?
No, we're still in Saskatchewan. Okay. We'll be back in Alberta. In Alberta, likely for Tuesday. And on Tuesday, thanks for reminding us. We one of the things that this point where we're at right now is it's made whistleblowers cool. Whistleblowers are amazing. They are courageous and brave and doing things that nobody else has the guts to do. And we've had the privilege and the blessing of having somebody that refused to be silent anymore has come and shared a story with us about their story. And we're about to blow the whistle on what might be the biggest Canadian health and Canadian government cover-up in our nation's history, and is responsible for so many deaths. I really hope that the Indigenous and Native communities get wind of this story, because this, when you want to talk bad drinking water in Canada, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. There is a reason. The reason is our government is corrupt and is burying the solution, a Canadian-made, Canadian-grown, natural solution. And our government is burying it.
We just finished the fine cleaning of the video, and I hope you guys come along. We're going to try to stream it on all our platforms as we have fit at the time. But it'll be on Noble Savages, West of Canada. It'll be on all those places.
Okay, and that's going to be Tuesday?
Yeah. Tuesday, yes.
What
time? Not setting an exact time, because that makes it a target. Right?
Okay, so you'll have an announcement about the time, say maybe an hour before on your sites or something?
Yeah,
is that how you're going to do it? Okay.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. We put some trailers out on the Noble Savages and What's Up Canada platforms to get people aware what day to watch and look for it. But when it comes out, it's going to hit the ground running, and it's going to move very quickly, but so will the government. So we're trying to keep to be a little bit of a hard target with this story until it hits the airwaves. And then we hope that this empowers and angers enough people to take action to make sure that the truth gets to those that are suffering.
I hope it inspires people what this guy has done too.
Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing too is when one person can put away their fear, they can change the world.
Absolutely. Well said, Wayne. Well, listen, gentlemen, we're down to the last minute here. Hour went very quickly. I know I'll be watching Tuesday to see what time you're going to make these announcements, and I'll help share it around. I'm actually off my Facebook ban here in about 3 days, so I'll be able to do some stuff again. They've really restricted me here for the last 30 days for saying a traitor should be hung. Anyways, next time. Well, yeah, I'm just getting out a 30-day suspension for like simply saying a traitor should be hung in a chat room. They slept me for 30 days for that.
I got put in Facebook jail for sharing a global news article in the States, and it says I was promoting a dangerous group.
Anyways, gentlemen, last thing before I got to let you go here, last minute, where can people find you again real quick?
What's Up Canada everywhere, every platform that isn't cut off or censored. We're primarily focusing on Telegram and Parler at the moment. I know Parler is on a roller coaster ride, but they will not be denied. If they are taken down, they will be back immediately. And at the earliest possible convenience, Facebook will be a long-distance memory.
Cool. And Derek?
Derek, you can find me at Noble Savages, at Noble Savages on Parler, and at Noble Savages on Odyssey, Noble Savages on YouTube, Share Story on Facebook, and working on other things. So,
well, gentlemen,
I'm expanding myself too.
Cool. Good work, guys. Well, thanks for coming in. Always great time. And I'll have to let you guys go, and I'll be back, folks, in about 3 or 4 minutes with Kevin Gallagher. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
welcome back to Third Hour, folks, and thanks again to Wayne and Derek. Always good having those gentlemen in. We're also now, I've been told, I was supposed to say it last hour, but of course I forgot, having a memory about 3 minutes long, that we're being streamed now on Truth Be Known Radio, Kevin Gallagher's network. And of course I'm joined by Kevin here for the third hour to have a discussion about what's going on in, well, the United States, kind of a few things going on down there we'd like to talk about. Welcome to the show, Kevin. Always good to have you back, buddy. You haven't been in for a while.
No, no, and it's Truth Be Told Radio Network. Truth Be Told.
Okay. Slap me. Okay, folks.
Bam! Bam! There you go. There you go. So anyway, I'm Kevin Gallagher. I am the CEO founder of the Truth Be Told Radio Network. We've been broadcasting since, April 10th of 2018. So I've been doing that. I've hosted a TV show for 24 years known as Time Out with Kevin Gallagher. You can go to timeoutyoutube.com, find all the shows there. I've done radio on and off for a long, long time, going back to when I was like 14 years old. I'm 56 now. That gives you an idea. And one thing that things have, you know, doors have opened up, and the Truth Be Told Radio Network is a Christian broadcasting network that also focuses on a biblical view of the New World Order, current events, etc., and being able to take Bible prophecy and getting a really good idea of where we are right now in that realm. One thing that I've done as a broadcaster, it's fantastic. I know of all the ills about all this, so please don't slap me around. I already know. And that is, we are very aggressive at broadcasting over smart speaker technology and over smartphones, anything with the smart technology, because like it or not, that technology is ubiquitous. It's here. To give you a quick idea, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, Barry, but just to give you an idea, there was a group that does business research, and they found out, and this came out in November, that 49.5% of all households in the United States that have broadband access have a smart speaker. So as a broadcaster and as a Christian broadcaster, I want to be able to reach as many people as I possibly can. That is an untapped way to get in and to be able to reach those people to where they can use the A word, they can use the G word, they can use the S word and the wake word, and then just say play Truth Be Told Radio Network, and it is playing. And those work in like 80 countries. You're looking at about 3.5 billion devices on the planet when you add in the cell phone technology. And it's a great way to reach, to get your radio signal out there. If you're an online broadcaster, it's fantastic. I know a bunch of the radio stations here where I live in Connecticut, I can bring them up on a smart speaker, Google, the Alexa. We don't have any of the Siri ones. My wife's cell phone, guess what, can bring it up. With that, we broadcast with you. You can call on a number and listen, Wi-Fi radios, tune-in radio, the whole kit and caboodle. But enough of that. Barry, I know I was listening to your show leading up, listening to the broadcast and listening to what you guys are thinking there in Canada. And I'm just blown away because I used to live outside the country. I lived in Ireland, England, Scotland, and for a period of years. And I'll tell you, it's watching things happen and getting that kind of global perspective and getting outside the fishbowl, it's very interesting. And, I mean, today has been one of those days that it's got kind of like a 9/11 feel to it almost. It's kind of like you're hearing all the rumors, there's news, you're not quite sure what's true, what isn't. And my thing is just wait and see what I can verify and see what actually is going on. But, you know, what have you heard there in Canada?
Well, I've got a couple people down in the States that I kind of really respect their opinions. And I've been talking to a couple of them today. And I've heard a few other opinions. And, of course, I've heard lots of rumors. But we don't know for sure, but there's a lot of chatter about Trump actually having signed the Insurrection Act at this point, or he's going to sign it. It's going to go down. That's the general consensus I've been hearing, that there is a lot of chatter about meetings and where Trump is actually right now. The fact that they've got this layer of protection around him, that's just unbelievable, that they're very concerned about somebody taking a shot at him. That certain individuals know that their necks are on the line right now. Mm-hmm. And all the stops are going to get pulled out here in the next couple of days. I don't know exactly where it's going to go, Kevin, but I understand that it could go pretty crazy in the next week or so.
Yeah, I expect that. Yeah, I fully expect that. And I'll tell you, I went in very quickly. I just went to Wikipedia. You know, it's the easiest place to start off with first. You know, it's always a good place to go first, but that stay there and then go and do some other, you know, hit a lot of other places. But looked up the Insurrection Act of 1807. It's pretty fascinating, even the information that I have here in front of me. I'll just read right from the webpage. It just says, the Insurrection Act of 1807 is the United States federal law that empowers the President of the United States to deploy U.S. military and federalized National Guard troops within the United States in particular, you know, circumstances, such as to suppress civil disorder, insurrection, or rebellion. The act provides statutory exception to the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, which limits the use of the military personnel under federal command or law enforcement purposes within the United States. So, right. There's things in here that talks about, hey, you know, the way that this would be done is the president would issue some kind of a formal thing saying, hey, this is going to be issued. But in a case such as what we're looking at, what is going on right now, good chance of it going on, or in other cases where you've had like certain riots and things that were going on, they were able to bring that law in automatically and then start the game rolling. And in a situation like this, with what's going on, there wouldn't really be any need to be able to put up the warning shot and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to impose this, everybody take cover. It feels like we're living in a movie. I felt the same way. I felt the same way with 9/11. I was at work, and where I worked, Barry, I was running a mainframe for a company, a mainframe computer. And if you don't know what that is, if you can picture, you see in the old movies and things, the computers that would fill up an entire room, you see the big tapes and everything, the computer tapes whizzing around in the doors. That's what I ran. And so we were inside, no windows, totally air conditioned because you had to keep all the equipment cool. Our night guy who worked had just gotten home and put on the TV because he was doing all the nightly backups, and he's freaking out. We all know the story. And so that's how I found out about what was going on. It was really it was a traumatic time for the country. And I really hope that this isn't as traumatic as that was. Hopefully if this is going down, and some of the things that I've heard about laptops being stolen, you know, taken and all this stuff going on and all the one-upsmanship. Hey, if it's true, great. I mean, the way I feel about President Trump is until he proves to me that he is not who he says he is, I'm going to support him. As soon as he shows me that he is working for the other side, I have no use for him.
Well, I sit on the fence as far as that man goes, Kevin. I have to at this point in my life. I don't, I have to. I like a lot of things he's done. Can't say he stood up, you know, but I'm always going to stand back at this point. Because
absolutely.
Could we be in a giant psyops? We don't know. Is there deals being made at very high levels that we are never part to or privy to? Yes, there is. And what's going on in those meetings? We have no idea. We do know that, you know, people have turned in the past. Hitler, you know, when he first came to power, he was the savior of the people. Everybody mm-hmm. loved him. He promised this, he promised that. And then we looked at what he actually did, but how he controlled his people. Well, what we see right now in America is Germany in 1936, 1937, almost to the T, with the exception of the introduction of the internet and the fact that we now have access to incredible amounts of information that, of course, the German people didn't have. But the playbook is almost identical to what was going on back in 1936 and 37.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the false flagging and everything. We have seen everything going on where, you know that Pelosi's son-in-law was one of the guys that led the raid on the Capitol. You're looking at all this stuff. You're looking at Antifa, BLM. You're looking at crisis actors. You're looking at all this stuff, you know, going on. You're looking at agent provocateurs. And so you have to be able to step back. And I'll tell you, at this time in 2021, we're far more sophisticated to these things. Even people that follow this stuff or are called conspiracy theorists or patriots, whatever you want to call them, doesn't matter. But we are far more sophisticated to where we were in, say, 2001 when all that stuff went down. Now people are right away. I mean, I'm amazed. I'll be like, look, crisis actor, and they were here, 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 same person, and it's within, you know, an hour or two, stuff is being sorted out where people now know where to look. They know how the gameplay is done, and I always compare it, Barry, to you go back to the old comic you go back to the Peanuts, and you have Lucy. She's holding the ball, the football, for Charlie Brown, and she tells him up and down and every other way, no, I will not pull the football out this time, I swear. And she goes on and on. And Charlie's like, you better not be pulling the football out this time. And he goes back to 40 clicks, gets a big head of steam, and you know what? Everybody, hey, say it with me. She pulls the football out. He lands on the mud and looks like Pigpen when he gets up. And this is what we're dealing with. So it's like, fool me once, fool me twice, we get the idea. But we need to look at, you know, this is the sort of thing that happens. And as the Who said, and this is the rock band I like much better than the World Organization, they said, don't get fooled again, don't get fooled again. Keep your eyes wide open, use your brain, think, use some discernment. And these are very difficult times because the name of your show is The Big Puzzle, right? And we are put in a position where we have a million-piece puzzle. We have two or three of the pieces, and we're trying to figure out what the thing looks like when it's done.
The picture is becoming more and more apparent, I think, as time goes on here, Kevin, as more pieces are put together here, and we actually get to see what their intentions are and where they're taking society. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, even things that are going on today, if we'd put that out on social platforms, although people were, but the general population would laugh at some of the things that we're seeing today, i.e. the complete lockdown of society over a virus that in Canada, Kevin, I keep hearing numbers down in the States that, you know, 4,000 people are dying apparently in the United States of America. Well, the total number in Canada right now, Kevin, since this thing started, and this is right from Canada Health Stats, right? I've done this week. I was on the internet and I looked at it for about 3-4 hours. I looked at four different sites, and we have lost 15,000 people total in Canada since the start of this scandemic. But 98% of those people are people between the ages of 70 and 80 years of age. That under that age group, there's only approximately 200, and I looked at the current figures, 252 people now in Canada that have died under the age of 70 from this so-called virus, this killer virus that's turning our world upside down.
I know with the CDC, they were talking about 0.25% of all people who got it died.
Yeah. And so, those are the same numbers that we have. 99.65 or some percent are not affected.
So, I mean,
go ahead.
Here's two things to think about. Number one, when you have a virus that's going around that's making people sick and only 0.25% or something like that die from it, why do you need a vaccine? You don't need a vaccine. You don't need it. Simple herd immunity. Now, here's the problem. This virus has a political agenda paperclip to it. So we can't do what is sensible and everything. All throughout history, you go into the Bible and you look at the lepers, and leprosy was, you know, horrible. You didn't quarantine healthy people. You quarantined the sick. So if we just use some good common sense like we have for thousands of years, even with the regular flu, which kills about 60,000 a year in this country, but nobody's running around freaking out and putting in political agendas and arrows on floors and telling, oh, you have to walk this way or that way because, you know, otherwise the virus is going to get you. Sounds like something you tell a five-year-old. But all common sense has been thrown out the window. Simple herd immunity, in other words, if you got rid of all of the lockdowns, you got rid of all the silly rules, I know I'm going to sound really awful here, and you just let the thing do what it does, eventually in a month or two, it would be totally done, gone, over with.
Done.
But the problem is that once government has taken power over something, and people have turned over their rights, turned over their power, good luck getting it back, because it's never going to happen. And that is the bigger picture here. So we need to I always use the analogy of, like, you know, when you would imagine yourself in the 1960s, 1950s, even the 1970s, like Day of the Condor, that movie, you see Robert Redford run into the airport, boom, 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 and jump onto an airplane, like, oh, that would never happen now. And that's because people wouldn't take the kind of crap that they're taking now. And to have some pedophile or something there working in TSA, total sexual assault, then go and feel up your wife in ways that you would only do in your bedroom would mean that if that happened in the 1960s or even the 1970s, that guy might not walk out of the hospital.
Yeah, and here it's
okay.
It's the new
do norm. That to my wife. You're not going to walk out of the hospital, buddy. Okay, but now we just hold out the arms. You do this, you do that. You cough. It's like you're getting tested by the doctor, and then you can get on a plane. And we've bought into that, and we buy into all of it. And it's like as Rahm Emanuel said, hey, you can't let a good crisis go to waste because governments then have opportunities to do things during a crisis that they could never do otherwise. And you can do more in 5 years of wartime, you see, and you keep a nation on a war footing because you can do more societal change under a guise of war thinking than you can in 50 years of peacetime. So you can accelerate the whole process. But people need to turn their brains back on, get both brain cells working again, get them talking to each other, and begin to think about what it is they're being thrown at.
Why can't people use their brains is a question I ask myself every day because, I tell people when I talk to them, the first thing I bring to their attention is that none of these masks that you're wearing right now that are available on the market, and I challenge you to do this, I'll even bet you some money that you can't show me one that has any effect on this virus, the so-called virus, at all. None of them. None of them state that they have no effect at all.
No effect.
But what they do is they cause your body all kinds of bad things.
Yeah.
It's called hypoxia. It's called recycling. Even though it's just trace amounts, Kevin, people got to realize that when you're breathing into this mask and then taking another mouthful in, breathing out and breathing in, you are trapping small amounts of carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide in that mask. And you're breathing that right back into your lungs.
What's interesting is my wife.
Reducing your oxygen, all the other things it does. I've looked at it all. It's just insanity. Go ahead.
My wife had picked up a box of disposable masks, and we picked it up because it said right on the side of the box in small print, does not protect from viruses.
Yeah,
it says it right on the box.
They all say the same thing.
And stopping a virus with a mask, wearing a mask, is kind of like stopping a basketball or let's make it even better, trying to stop a golf ball with a hula hoop. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Or a mosquito with a chain link. Yeah, a mosquito with a chain link fence.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And when you think about what these masks are used for, they're called surgical masks. Well, they're used by surgeons and nurses in surgery because they have somebody opened up and whatever. Their body parts are opened up to the air, which is not normal, natural, whatever. It's surgery. And it's to keep them from infecting the guy that's on the table.
Exactly. What they're for. They're never designed to be doing what they're doing. But, the thing about it that's most alarming, Kevin, is that when you breathe into these masks, and I know that bacteria is going to grow in the mask. Well, right. I see people taking their masks off. They hang them up on the visor of their vehicle. They drive around. They go to three or four different stores because they got to wear them in the store. They can take them off when they come out. Yeah. And every time you do that, folks, you're building bacteria. Bacteria doesn't go away. It continues to grow and continues to grow. And every time you put that mask back on, you're breathing bacteria into your lungs. And it's not good for you. And now we're seeing an increase in viral pneumonias. We're seeing an increase in black mold infections in lungs. But they don't talk about that on mainstream, do they, Kevin?
No.
At all. Because it doesn't fit the agenda.
Doesn't fit the agenda. And that's the whole thing that I look at. Another interesting aspect here is we heard all through the campaigns and everything about defunding the police here in this country. And, they point to the problems that you see with the police. You see it with the brutality. We see that. But the problem is, what's the alternative? Because if we get rid of the police, then something has to replace it, and it's not going to be social workers. The only thing that can replace the police would be military. That's it. And so, you defund the police over here and you gain martial law over here, and then we get sold another bill of goods. And that's what I see coming with all of this. I look at Trump. I look at what's going on. Now, to just give you truth in advertising disclaimer, however you want to look at it, Barry, I founded a political party in the town I lived in back in the 90s. And we got we were a third party, and we got so powerful that the Republican and Democratic parties couldn't elect people to the local boards and commissions without a cross endorsement from us. So it made things very interesting. So I've run plenty of political campaigns. I've gotten people elected. I know how this stuff works. And when you look at the campaigning that was done this time around, like at the presidential level, see, we only have like two or three pieces of the big puzzle. So when I look at the campaigning, the Democrats were actually able to really dictate the terms of what was going to be talked about during the campaign. The Trump, the Republican side, didn't really do a good job of setting the agenda. That's the first thing. The second thing is when you look at this, when the campaign started, and in this country, it kind of drives me nuts that we do these really elongated political campaigns for the presidency. It takes like a year and a half and everything. It really could be compacted down to about a month and get it all done and over with. But over that year and a half when it started, see, if I was one of the president's advisors, and I'm not, but what I would have said is, you know, we might want to get about 40 of these indictments, you know, lower level, medium, you know, key ones that we can then put into the system and start exposing what's been going on, expose to pedophilia, expose this, find out how many of these politicians have been to Epstein's Island, how many times, how many of these rock stars, movie stars, social workers, whoever, how many times were they on the island, for example? How many times this, how many times that? And let's get that flushed out and into the open, because the only way you're going to be able to shoot the birds is if you let the dog run down and get them out in the air so you can go bang, bang, bang. But nothing like that happened, because that would have changed the nature of the campaign. That would have gotten people focused on what we all hear like incessantly gets beat over our head, the swamp. So then it gets things focused on the swamp. It doesn't get things focused on your candidate. And then it puts your other candidates who you're running against, both at the presidential level, the congressional, and the senatorial, back on their heels. Because what we're looking at, if this is allowed to stand the way this went down, everybody's focusing on Donald Trump and Joe Biden and focusing on the presidential race. But there were other races that are even more important. All the races that were held in Congress, all the races that were held for the Senate, they're just as important, if not more, because now if things stand the way they are and everything goes forward just as the fraudulent vote – the vote totals went, was the Democrats would control what? The executive branch, the Congress, Senate, and the judiciary. So where does the average American land in that one? So – We have a problem, and then we know about the agenda that the left has, and we look at what they want to bring in, and nobody wants to live in that type of environment. I'm sorry, nobody. People escape out of countries like what they're proposing to do to this one. They run screaming to the ocean, try to swim in ocean to get to anywhere but where they are. So this is what we're looking at. So when we see what's going on here, this is – if this is – even a tenth of it is true – we got some very serious stuff going down. And what we need to be doing as Christians, we need to be praying like we've never prayed before. Trust and believe in God like we never have before. Because we, Barry, we're just, hey, you're some guy in Western Canada. I'm some guy out here in Eastern United States. And, you know, who the heck are we? But here's the difference. You see, Barry, you and God make a majority in every situation. And Kevin here, Kevin and God makes the majority in every single situation. And when the two of us come together, then the me, you, and God, we make a supermajority in every single situation. Because where two or more are, there I am in the midst of them. And so we need to make sure that we're praying like we never have before. We pray our butts off. And we do what we have to do, because these things that we're talking about, we can talk about all night. I can sit here and talk about it all night long, but it's not going to change anything. And we need to pray, and we need to go to the Father, and we need to say, hey, you need to make this right, because you and I can't, but he can.
Well, it's in his hands, Kevin. However this is going to play out, that's out of our control. Only he knows how this is all going to play out. All we can do right now is shine as much light on the dark as we can and try and reach as many people as we can for Jesus Christ. I believe that's our role right now, that things There's things that are out of our control. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe the way that what the Bible tells me about this particular time and how it's going to play out in the future, I have to take that as written in stone. That yep. there is no variations there, that what he tells me about this particular time, and we look at all the different events that are indicating that we're in that timeline, that we're really there right now. How it all going to play out, none of us know, but we know we are in very, very interesting, exciting, and sad times, because millions yeah. will be led astray. There's nothing. I've come to the conclusion, Kevin, that there's millions that I can't reach, that people just aren't going to listen. It doesn't matter what you say, they're just not going to hear. And I can't do anything about that. All I can do is maybe touch a few hearts while I still have yeah. time left on this planet. And that's all I can do. And that's, I think that's all he's asking me to do at this point. Because everything else is in his control. It's in his control. Where it's going to go, I don't know. But we can sit here and talk about different scenarios and let people figure it out for themselves. Kind of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, it's like the parable of the sower. You know, if you're planting, I'm watering. You know, God's going to give the increase. So the results belong to God. But it is time for people to get off their tushies, stop watching American IDLE, and actually do something. And doing something can be as simple as taking 15 minutes or 20 minutes a day to pray, because that's a lot more than most people are doing. I hate to say it. And you got the seeker-friendly church. You got all this stuff, you know, prosperity gospel, and people arguing over whether the earth is round or flat or triangular. And you know what? When you look at your freedom and what's going on, it doesn't matter. If you lose your freedom, does it matter if you lose your freedom on a round earth, a flat one, a triangular one? It still lost your freedom. You still have the challenge to believe and trust in God.
So and when you talk about flat earth, I start laughing, Kevin. Sorry. It always brings that reaction in me when you talk about flat earth.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
it's just that we have to look at, instead of turning on each other, we need to realize who the enemy is. And that we need to be – it's like what Benjamin Franklin said. We either hang together or we shall almost assuredly hang separately.
You know, we could spend an hour, Kevin, just talking about divisions that have been brought into our society. I would say more so in the last 40 or 50 years, where we could I could talk about it myself for an hour. When I sit back and I look at all the divisions that have been brought into our world that keep people from actually communicating and addressing the enemy and the distractions that they have brought forward, it's so effective. Big league entertainment. I mean, they're allowing hockey teams, they're allowing the juniors to go on, but my friend's kids can't go down to the rink and play, but the world juniors are allowed to play.
No, and NHL, you can riot NHL. In the streets. You can riot in the streets without a mask on.
Yeah, and the NHL is allowed to play, but they got to distract the people. They got to keep them entertained so people don't look at what's going on around them. They're the masters at doing that. They really are. They're good.
It's amazing.
It is.
Really, truly,
and it works. It works. It works. It really does. I mean, you look at society now, man. I think about even when I was a child. I'm 66 now. But when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I have a real good memory of what life was like back then, how I respected my parents, how our life was focused around our relatives. I spent my weekends at my aunts and uncles and vice versa. Christmases were all about family. It was such a family, a tied together unit in society. And now that has been completely taken away from us, buddy. Completely.
You know what's interesting? I had this discussion with some members of my family. I had this discussion with my wife even, and that is, you know, when I was a kid, and like what you're talking about, I'm 56, you're 10 years older than me. When I was a kid, you know, God forbid that I didn't yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes uncle this, yes aunt that. I didn't have the proper decorum. I didn't send a thank you card or call and say thank you to somebody like a relative that gave me a gift for my birthday or for Christmas or something like that. There would be you know, consequences for that. Or you walk into somebody's home, you come empty handed. That's one thing. You come and you don't even acknowledge their existence. You don't even acknowledge people's existence. You just pretend like there's no people there. And I've seen this play out in my eyes, and I'm like, how can people be that out of touch with each other? How can people be that disconnected from humanity? Because that would never happen. You know, and the powers that shouldn't be, they put these always these the double think out there, the conflicting messages. You have, you know, everybody talking about racial inharmony and blah 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 and the Black Lives Matter and this life and these lives matter and those lives matter and this and that. And it looks like nobody's getting along in strife. But then if you look at all of the commercials on TV, it's all interracial couples or it's all people of different races all together having a party, having a good time watching a game on TV or something. And it's all interracial. And everybody's having a good time. So then I have to ask the question, which one is it?
Okay, folks, we're looking for an answer to that.
I'm serious. Which one is it?
Really,
make up your mind.
Yeah, it's a hypocrisy.
It's the double speak. It's
the double standard.
George Orwell, you know, he laid it out very well in 1984. You know, and he had seen all this stuff. His real name was Eric Arthur Blair, and he had seen what the communists did. He saw the communist rollout. You're looking at if we have an actual communist rollout being done in this country where they've tried to take everything over. Okay, what's the first thing you do in war? The first thing you do in war is you take out the communications.
Right.
And you look at, you know, parlors being you know, shut down. And then you look at all the censorship that people have gotten just flat out used to. It's like, well, you know, scratch your head. Maybe if I, you know, post this on Facebook, they'll shut me down for a week. Well, you shouldn't be having that thought if we live in a free country. Right?
Well, it's out of control right now, Kevin. Completely out of control. Full-blown, you know, communism in our face. I mean, all the big tech attack. I mean, we're living in a year that the president of the United States is being outright censored by every alternative or mainstream, I should say, mainstream media outlet in the country. He can't email his own supporters.
Yeah.
That he's being attacked by media around the world. I mean, this is I never thought I'd ever see this happen to the president of the United States, the still sitting president. But they know they've got it. This is the last straw. That they know that they're in trouble. And I'm going to go with that, Kevin. I'm going to go with the fact that you're going to see chaos. I hate to say that, but you're going to see chaos regardless. However this works out in the United States, you are going to see chaos because there's 75 million peed off Americans right now.
Yeah.
And if people underestimate the power of 75 million peed off Americans, 548 militias on full alert right now in the United States of America, then you really do have your head in the sand. So I'm just praying that it doesn't come to bloodshed in the streets, but I don't know if that's going to be avoidable at this time, Kevin. I really don't know. Because they're on their side, if it comes out and it's announced that Trump is president, you know that all hell's going to break loose on their side of the
All hell's going to break loose, and we do know that from what we've seen throughout the presidential campaign, we saw with the rioting, we saw with all this stuff, it was the left that got violent. And it was, for me, a head-scratcher because I've been finger-pointed at me for years being conservative, that it's conservatives who go violent. It's not the conservatives that go violent. It's the lefties.
I haven't seen any conservatives in those kind of riots. All I've seen is Black Lives Matter and Antifa being the inciters in all these riots, and I've looked at lots of them. So I haven't heard of conservatives inciting riots, and you're absolutely correct, because they're not going to. That's not our playbook. It's their playbook. It's communism on steroids.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're doing, Kevin. One book I did read, buddy, I read Communism, Communist Manifesto. I read it about 12 years ago, or maybe it was about 12 years ago. I think it was 2008 or 2009 I read that. And I'm not a reader, but I made myself read that book, and it really made me understand a lot about what's going on in the world today. So read it, folks. It's a good book. It really points it up. It is.
It is.
And I'm not a reader, but I read that one. Go ahead.
No. It's just I look at what's going on, and you look at the fact, like what you were saying before, whether it was Barack Obama in the present and he was present and they did exactly what they did to Trump, I would be really upset because, as you said, there is this is the sitting president. If they wanted to censor or shut down his personal private Twitter or his personal private Facebook page or whatever, Okay, it'd be a little uneasy of that because, you see, the thing is that they're showing a complete contempt for the office. They're not just showing a complete and total contempt for the man, but you always respect the office, and they've disrespected the office of the presidency. And that is where I'm like, you know, this is where they've crossed a very big line.
I think Trump gave him some rope, and I think they hung themselves, Kevin.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible.
I think he had to let this play out. I really do. He knows who his real enemies and whose real friends are now. I was kind of disappointed in Pence, but in the same mouthful, I had a bad feeling about that guy for a long time, Kevin. A lot of people did. And I share that opinion with lots of people that they just didn't. When the man talked, when a person talks and they talk with their heart, you can feel it. But when Pence talks, it's like you're talking through a straw. You get a real hollow feeling about that individual that he's not talking with his heart at all. He's talking through his mind, what he's supposed to put forward. And that was my feelings about him. And sure as heck, he turned on the president.
You know, there's an expression about politics. There's an expression that talks about if you want to figure out who's actually in charge. Let me ask you a question. Can you criticize Donald Trump? The answer would be, yeah, you can. So he's not in charge. Can you criticize Joe Biden? Yeah, you can. So he's not in charge. If you really want to know who's in charge and who's really pulling the strings, it's the one guy or organization you cannot criticize. And who is that? That's all the social media companies, because as soon as you'd cross the line with them, they shut you down.
Good point.
The president shutting people down. I don't see even the Democratic Party doing too much shutting down. I don't see anybody doing shutting down except for the so-called social media companies. And, you know, the irony of ironies is you take Google, for example. Google owns YouTube. And people forget that. Google owns YouTube. Now, YouTube was created so that people like you and me and probably a lot of people listening right now, whether they're listening to us live or on the replay, the recording, was to be able to give a voice to you, like it said, YouTube. But now that's not the case because it's owned by big fascist socialist agenda companies like Facebook and Google and all these companies that offer the socialist media.
So what would your suggestion be for people that are looking to get away from those social giants, Kevin?
The problem is you really can't. Let me make my point. I pointed this out earlier to my wife. Folks, pick up your smartphone, or even if you have a dumb phone, just pick it up and put it in your hand and look at it. Now, you're either holding one that is an Android phone like I do, or you're holding one that's probably an Apple phone. Now, both of those are social media companies, Apple and Google. So guess what? You look at, say, the Android phone, right? Android is a Google product. It was made and derived from Linux. It was put into the phones so that they had an operating system that would be to compete with Apple. And from version 5 forward, guess what, Barry? The Google Assistant that's in the smart speakers is built into the phone. That's why if you say, OK, Google, you'll see your phone light up. And then you can say, call this number or ask anything. That's what's going on. So when you do the same thing with an Apple iPhone, if you say Siri, it's going to light up and ask you, yes, master, what is your wishes? We can't even have a telephone that's not connected to the socialist media.
Say, Barry.
Yes, Steve.
I've known a guy for a couple of years. He's been on the show quite a few times. Up until like 6 weeks ago, he used a flip phone. That's all he had.
Yeah.
Flip phone for all of his shows. He didn't have Skype. He's got a computer, but he had a flip phone, and he was told by his carrier that they are no longer supporting flip phones.
Right.
Of course.
Well, now they got the new flip phone that came out. Those new ones made by Samsung. So if you want to get the smart technology built into a new flip phone, you can do that. So But yeah, that's how it happens.
Doesn't matter where you go or what you do these days, they're watching you, Kevin.
And you have a good dose of predictive programming. You've probably heard this line before, but you get into Star Trek, if you're familiar with that. You go all the way back to the 1960s. Captain Kirk would flip open the communicator. God, that looks just like these flip phones that Steve was just talking about. Now, if you move forward a couple of years and you go to Star Trek The Next Generation, what did they have there? They had tablets, long before tablet computers came out. Now, if you move forward a few more years and you go to Deep Space Nine, they had these glasses. I'm a little bit of a Trekkie, so forgive me. It's a guilty indulgence. But then they had the Vorta, who would have these glasses, and everything would be on the glasses, and they could communicate with the entire ship, the armies, everything. And now you got Google Glass and you got Alexa glasses, and there you go. And then you go also into DS9, and you have these big giant screens that they could then communicate back and forth with, and you see that all throughout that. And now you can have a 75-inch, 85-inch TV in your living room and be doing basically the same thing.
Wow. I want to go back to rotary phones, buddy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's
too much for me.
It just gets to a point where, I mean, I have always made the comment about I'm forgetting the name of the device, the Magic Jack, that little thing that you would pop into your USB port of your computer, or it would work better if you popped it into your modem or into your router, actually, and you could make phone calls. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, that in my mind, when I first saw it, I said, man, that would make the coolest spy device. I could see like James Bond or somebody from Mission Impossible using that, because I could pop it in, make a phone call, put it in their pocket, their purse, and leave. Nobody would know the difference. Nice. So to give you an idea, okay, you can go look this up, folks. Philips Labs invented, okay, in 1968, we're talking the 1960s, 1968, they invented the compact disc. Now, the compact disc didn't hit public use for the consumer until about 1981. So then governments or whoever were using these things for whatever they were doing until they released it to the general public, when it really they felt couldn't hurt them anymore. So, but it's a 1968 technology, 1968. You go back to Wernher von Braun, you go back to the Nazi who was brought in to set up and run NASA. Yeah, 82. It could be 81, 82. You're right, Steve. I've maybe off by a year. Wernher von Braun brings in space shuttle technology that was dreamed up in the 1930s. So who knows? I mean, Trump talks about a space force.
Who knows
what they got up there, because they're not going to tell us. And I've just come to the conclusion that they kind of go, nah, 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 nah. When you go and you see like one of the better produced science fiction movies or something, they're basically showing you, maybe not to the exact detail, but they're giving you the basic idea of what they can do right now.
Yeah, what they have in their little toolbox, and they poke you with it. We know their technology that they have, Kevin, is 10 years ahead of what we're allowed to know, maybe 10, even 30, more. 300. Maybe even more. Maybe more. I'm using 10. But even 10, if you think about 10 years down the road from now, see how fast we have developed here or so far, or what technology's done in the last 5 or 6 years, 10 years down the road would be scary. 20 years down the road, I wouldn't even be able to go there.
Just to give you an idea, you're in British Columbia, Canada, correct?
I am.
All right, here, let me goof on you.
No secret.
Hey, Alexa, what's the current weather in British Columbia, Canada? No, it's hitting over there. Hey, computer, what's the current weather in British Columbia, Canada? And of course, when I go to demonstrate, it doesn't work. But
Why don't you try Terrace, British Columbia?
Terrace?
Terrace, British Columbia. That's where I live. It's no
computer,
secret.
What's the weather in Terrace, British Columbia?
Right now in Terrace, Canada, it's 37 degrees Fahrenheit with rain. Today's forecast has snowy, rainy weather with a high of 37 degrees and a low of 36 degrees.
Now, 10 years ago. Now, 10
that's
years
doing,
ago.
That's what it's doing outside right now.
Yeah. And like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, what we just did would be science fiction. It would appear in a movie.
Wow.
Okay? And you can't get away from it. You can do that on your Android phone right now. It won't be the A word, but it will be, you know, the Google Assistant. Same idea.
Say, Kevin.
Oh, there's my temperature right now in Terrace is 37 degrees, guys.
There you go.
Can you imagine that? I just looked it up. There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Barry, in real time.
Barry.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Kevin mentioned Star Trek a few minutes ago. The original series, they had the communicators where you flip it open like a flip phone. But if you remember, whenever they hit the button on the side to connect to somebody, that sounded a lot like the 90s and up to the 2000s Nextels.
Yeah, it did. I had a buddy that had a flip phone that looked almost exactly like a Captain Kirk model. It was bizarre.
Yep.
I think it was made by Nextel, too.
Well, they had the handheld phasers, of course, too. Now look what we can do with lasers, man.
Yeah.
Or directed energy weapons. You know, it's crazy, man. But they were telling us back then what they already had, and we didn't know it. We just looked at it as entertainment. But Star Trek, I'm waiting for the transporter. Have they got that? Because I'd like to have that.
I don't know if you saw the article, but there was an article. I can send it to you. There was an article that came out about 2 weeks ago where they have admitted that they can teleport items up to 27 miles away, small items. They're admitting to that.
Teleport. Actually,
they can teleport a small item. Now, I don't know the size or the limits, but it's 44 kilometers or 27 miles roughly from one end to the other, instantaneous transport, just like in Star Trek. They can do it now.
Well, if they're admitted to that, then they probably have stuff. Well, then they know. Then we know they have stuff that's far advanced to that. If they're admitting to that right now, so that's kind of scary, isn't it?
I tell people, just look that up. It's out. It's out on the web. I found it because I'm one of those weirdos. I look for that stuff, and there it was, and it was from a credible source. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me! It's right from the people that did the science, and they're putting out their white papers, and they're like, yeah, we can transport it 27 miles.
Wow,
that's what they're admitting to.
Okay, I want one of those. What's going to come next, Kevin? Hey, how many deaths are you hearing? I'm going to put this to you really quick. You've been following the vaccine, of course, and Moderna and Pfizer and all these other trials. Have you been following that a lot? And how many deaths are you actually hearing about? Because I'm hearing about a lot.
I haven't followed it too much. I just know that I won't take the vaccine. And I just make sure that the people that I know and that I love, they're told, hey, don't take the vaccine.
I wasn't trying to change the subject to the vaccine.
Oh, no.
I'm hearing about a lot of reports that aren't making mainstream. So, and of course, none of it will. But, yeah, I just wanted to pick your brain.
It's the agenda.
And it's a big one.
I just get a kick out of, maybe it's just me, but, you know, you go into these places now, they're takeout only for a restaurant, and they actually have arrows on the floor, walk this way and then stand this far apart. Or you go in the grocery store and they have like taped down lines saying, in this aisle, walk this way. So me, the way I am, I'm going to walk in the other direction, because I guess the virus knows that if I walk in the other direction, they can attack me and make me sick. But if I go in the same aisle as the arrow, the virus goes, oh, man, I can't infect him. Come on.
Well, how about people in the airport are made to stand 6 feet apart in line to get on the airplane, and their shoulders to shoulder for 6 or 8 hours, you know? Let's explain that one.
You don't even have numbers. The flu itself this year is non-existent.
It disappeared.
Cool.
COVID chased it out. COVID chased it out, Kevin.
COVID cured the flu. I mean, it's amazing.
And the common cold. We don't hear anything about that. We don't hear about anything except for COVID, 24 hours a day. And now we see them really going to ramp it up, all the restrictions that are coming down, what's going on in Canada, what's on in Scotland and England right now. I mean, it's just out of control, Kevin. And they're really going to ramp this up because they know society is going to take it.
They
sit back in their little ivory towers and they laugh at the sheeple. People can't think for themselves. They just can't. So they're just going to go along, get along.
here's the thing I get a kick out of. We were in a CVS drugstore, and they have like the As Seen on TV section. They got the gadget section, and in there, there's this ultraviolet wand. All right. You have a little thing, you hit the button, the ultraviolet light pops up, and you're supposed to run this over your cell phone or over objects to kill viruses. Okay, now here's the George Orwell doublethink, okay, where you hold two contradictory ideas in mind at the same time, they don't cancel each other out. You're going to buy the little device. I've also seen little devices where you take the cell phone, you put it in a little box, you turn it on, it zaps the ultraviolet light, kills the viruses, because everybody knows that viruses don't last very long in ultraviolet light. So let me see. 93 million miles away, there's this big giant thing that's a million times bigger than the Earth that pumps out more ultraviolet light than that little wand ever could. But that doesn't have any effect on the virus, but the little wand does? Am I missing something?
That's just normal, Kevin. Come on. I know. The idiocy of it all. It blows your mind, but we could talk about all aspects of this, Kevin. Just the mask alone, the fact that people can't read the box. They just pick up the box and read it, and then ask yourself why you're wearing it if it has no effect. Period. Yep. What's going on here, folks? Does that make any sense at all? But I go into the grocery store. Yesterday, I was the only person in there without a mask on. I walk in, I say medical exemption, they respect it, and I walk around, I do my business. But you can see everybody's eyes, and they're just beaming on me. Why is this guy, Henry, why has that guy got a mask on? He's a threat to us. Well, if the mask works, folks, why are you worried about me?
Exactly.
You know, there's just no sense to it all, but it's not made to make sense. It's made
well,
to,
you know, the thing is like on the agenda. They live. It's like out of the movie They Live, where they turn and they go, oh, we got one who can see.
Yeah, yeah. Put these glasses on.
I wish it was that easy, you know, but it just – people just need to kind of take a step back and think. And I know I'm making light of some of this and poking a little bit too fun at some of these things, but it's just that people need to think. And I mean, 1984, the novel, was originally supposed to be called The Last Thinking Man, but the publisher didn't like the name. He knew that George Orwell wrote the book in 1948. He switched the two last numbers around, made it 1984, and we have the book. If you like that, I would also recommend reading a book, a very short book called Animal Farm. And it is by far written by George Orwell. Maybe it's not quite as well known as 1984, but Animal Farm is the best treatise on propaganda that I've ever seen, and also explaining how communism really works and how communists take over a country.
Mm. Another one's Rules for Radicals. There's another good one for people to read. And I know Steve has been reading COVID-19, The Great Reset. We only got about a minute left, I think, here. A couple minutes left here, Kevin. But sure. Quickly on that, Steve, have you read the whole book now? Are you finished with it?
No, I'm reading it on air. I'm not even close to being finished.
Okay. Well, anyways, I think it's a must read from what I've heard. I haven't read it, but I know a couple of people have, and they've given me some pretty crazy input on it. So, Kevin, it's been great having you in. We're down to the last couple minutes here. Where do you take a minute here and tell people again where they can find you and your networks? And
sure.
I'll have to say goodbye for now.
It's the Truth Be Told Radio Network. You can go to truthbetoldnetwork.org, and you can listen to the network a bunch of different ways. Like I said, we're very aggressive in going out through smart technology because that's where we can get to people. And as a Christian broadcaster, I want to get to as many people as I possibly can. So you can listen to us over my tuner. You can click the big listen button on the website. We have an Android app that you can download, put on your Android phone. Any Wi-Fi radio in the world, you can listen to the network with any Alexa, Google, or Apple smart speaker you can use to listen to the network. And just check it out. We got all kinds of people 24 hours a day, and you're on the network now. Today was the first day, and you're on 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if you like Barry, you have a smart speaker, just ask to listen to the Truth Be Told Radio Network, and they're listening to you, Barry, over their smart speaker.
Well, I thank you for including us in your network there, Kevin. Much appreciated.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Anything I can help with you and getting the word out, I'm always down. It's been a pleasure talking with you today, my friend. We'll do this again real soon, guaranteed. Yeah,
timeoutyoutube.com. Timeoutyoutube.com. That'll get you to 24 and a half years worth of TV shows.
Wow. Well, you've got a wide reach, Kevin, and thanks again for including us in that reach. I much appreciate it. Anything we can do right now to get the word out is, I think it's a very, very important time in our history to do so. I'm kind of running out of gas here. 3 hours is it is for me, Kevin. At the end here, I'm kind of I'm twiggling out here very quickly. I'm dying and fading quickly, so I will say goodbye, folks. It's been a real enjoyable show today, starting with the doctor and of course Wayne and Derek. Always great to have the gentleman in and finish it off with Kevin. It's been a very enjoyable show for me today. I'll be back next week, guys, same time, same place. Guaranteed to have some good guests with us, so join me then, and I'll say bye for now. Go.
You're listening to www